Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
We'll also be talking about how women of color can reshape their working lives. Fact is, they have a tougher time cracking the glass ceiling at the corporate and other stages than other women do. There are obstacles to overcome at ground level before they move up. But there is an effort underway this week in St. Louis to help them bypass barriers. Joining me in studio are Lori Jackson, founder and president of Mosaic Ceiling. Mosaic Ceiling is a nonprofit organization established to empower women. Nicole Roach is Associate Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion and Senior Director for Community Engagement at Webster University. Ladies, thank you so much for being here. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Lori, let me start with you.
Yes.
What specific barriers are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about, well, Mosaic Ceiling was formed, as you stated, to advocate for women breaking down barriers in six key areas. So wage gap, health, economic security, political leadership, entrepreneurship, and educational attainment. So we look at the wage gap in health. Those are the major components. The entrepreneurship and educational attainment, women of color exceed in those areas percentage-wise. But the health and wage gap, there's still a lot of work to be done.
Nikki, are we just talking about the corporate world now, or are we talking about a much broader area?
Oh, way much broader. It's across all industries, whether it's for-profit, non-profit, higher ed, education, you name it, there's work to be done. And as Lori was mentioning, the key areas that Mosaic Ceiling is focused on, however, some of those barriers that are included consist of women of color not having influential mentors or sponsors, lack of informal or formal networking with influential colleagues, the lack of company role models who are members of their own race or ethnic group, and lack of high visibility special projects and assignments.
Lori, isn't this a situation, though, that exists for women of all ethnic backgrounds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. We look at, for when we look at the numbers, especially for wage gap, when we look at the numbers, the numbers are still alarming. And we have a long way to go because women will not reach pay equity until 2059. But for African-American women and Latina and Hispanic women, it's even longer than that. So another 100 years at least before pay equity is reached if we continue on the track that we're on.
Right. And consider, you have there's a study, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, when they talk about the income earned from employment, mm-hmm. which is the critical foundation for wealth accumulation as well as access to other things. Women of all races, as we know, earn less. Yes. However, when it comes to Latinas, they earn 54% of white males. African Americans, they are earning 64%. Of white male wages, and for white women, it's 78%. So that kind of puts it in perspective.
Did you want to say something, Lori?
Well, as Nikki indicated, if we were to get rid of the wage gap, women working full-time a year-round will have enough money to pay for 89 more weeks of groceries. So that's about 2 years, 80 more than 7 more months of mortgage and utility payments. more than 1 year of rent, and then or more than 3,000 gallons, additional gallons of gas. Mm-hmm. So if we could get rid of the pay gap, there's some of the things that we would be able to solve, and that's our mission and goal, is to help break down those barriers.
And according to the numbers that I have in front of me here, by 2050, most women in the workforce are going to be women of color.
Yes.
Which just really reinforces how important this is going to be.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. You know, another thing that I noticed in the literature that that preceded you is that quite a point is made that 64% of the women who are in jail or incarcerated are women of color. Why would you include this stat? Nikki, I'll turn to you. Why would you include this stat in your brochures?
I would include that stat because that's also part of our power, our influence in regards to making a difference. You had mentioned earlier about the glass ceiling that women face and that is preventing them from moving forward. Well, when it comes to women of color, we don't see the glass ceiling. It is a concrete ceiling for us. And that concrete ceiling meaning it's a dead end. There's nothing more to aspire to. There's nothing more outside of what it is that we currently have. And if that is the case, then sometimes those things that cause those numbers, when you mentioned the stats of those who may be imprisoned, those different barriers, let's, you know, just be honest, those different types of barriers have an influence on those opportunities that we do or do not have. Right now, the number one group that's enrolling in higher ed, because oftentimes we say, oh, maybe that group's not educated. Well, those who are enrolling in higher ed institutions by race and gender is the Black female. And with that, they are graduating at least enrolling, and they are getting that access to higher ed. Also, the numbers of business owners by African-American women grew 322% since 1977, making Black females the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs in the United States. So we have all these dynamics going on. And yes, we would want to include those numbers because if we are already setting trends in these different areas, just think how much more impact we could be making. But also, some of those individuals, it's not just by choice that they are there for some of them. However, if things could have been different, if there could have been a lorry in one of their presence, then possibly that outcome could have been quite different. Mm.
Of course, women who have been incarcerated, just as is the case with men, find it difficult to get a job at all when they come out.
Yes.
But there is, Lori, this kind of a silver lining, as I see it. If entrepreneurship is up and there are more people being educated and getting the necessary education that's so necessary for advancement, this is something of a silver lining, isn't it?
Well, I would say it's a silver lining, but we still have to move the needle a little bit faster than what statistics show, because if we look at it, we're going backwards. We're not going forward in our numbers. And so we do have more education, and we do have more business, and we're more business owners. However, there's still that disparity there that we are pushing for to close the gap quicker.
What is the biggest obstacle, do you think, that the women we're talking about are facing?
The biggest?
Yeah.
It's so multi-layered.
Yes.
And multifaceted.
Yes.
Depending on the situation. But I would say the one that just pops in my mind would be the mentoring and the coaching. Would be one of
early on, I would.
Yes. But also,
definitely.
Also, even when you arrive after you complete, I mean, I talked to so many individuals, females of mm-hmm. color, and they're often asking, how did you make it? And for me, there is no make it. And even at this space in life, in this season of life, there's still need for mentorship and coaching because you don't understand. We were just talking, Lori and I, before coming on, that we are quick to say, okay, here's the diploma and here are my grades and everything is great. But there is a whole nother level of character and the Something. Politics and mm-hmm. the language and the resources and that before you can even get access, you need to know how to talk the language. But if you're not taught that, it's not going to work.
Learning how to play the game.
Yes, exactly. And that's exactly what we talked about. We talked about earlier in our career, there was someone in that organization that took us under their wing and help us get to that place. And so we must be able to reach back and pull someone up, and we have to continue to do that. And so that's critical.
Right. And it doesn't have to be the person. Yes, it is critical to have someone who reflects your race or identity, as I mentioned earlier. However, for me, it was not just a person of the same race or same color, not even the same gender. But those individuals who saw something in me helped to bring out that which I couldn't even see at the time.
And Nikki, how did they do that? What specifically did they do?
It's the sitting down. It started off just sitting down, getting to know me as an individual, some of my interest, some of the things that I was currently working on. But also they went a step further to find out what made my heart beat faster. And that was that passion. And then they helped to guide me, which was giving me access to their network. There's several that male and female still currently, and even my boss, I consider a mentorship currently. And I'm grateful for the different opportunities that have been offered for me to just see another space of what's going on in leadership. I have truly been in spaces that I would not have had access to, not even aware. Because oftentimes, you know, we have the book Lean In, but how can you lean in if you don't know what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Is this what Mosaic Ceiling does?
Absolutely. This is exactly what we do.
And how?
And, well, we actually, there are workshops where we have the panel discussion where we will be talking about the topics that we have. Mm-hmm. This is more for awareness. And then after that, we will continue with workshops and speaking to women groups and really actually empowering women, not just working with women of color, but really working with all women, bringing all women together and combining our resources so that we can start to move this needle, as I indicated earlier, faster for not just women of color, but all women. That's our goal.
You mentioned the panel discussion. I'll point out right here and now that the Breaking Down Barriers and Empowering Women of Color panel discussion is going to be happening this Thursday, May 25th at 6:30 p.m. at the Lee Auditorium at the Missouri History Museum. Right? Do I have all my facts correct on that?
Actually, next Thursday. Two weeks from
The 25th.
The 25th of May. Okay. That's correct.
Sorry about that. So it's a week from Thursday. 2 weeks from Thursday, and you're both going to be involved in that, correct?
That's
correct.
Yes.
Frances Cress Welsing. Frances Cress Welsing. Frances Cress Welsing. I'm taking advice from one of our listeners. When you are having any difficulties or strain. And you need a little patience moving forward, invoke the name of one of our grandsisters, Frances Cress Welsing. Frances Cress Welsing. Right on. Context of White Supremacy, Gus T. Renegade, in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, May 11th, 2017. So I have been told this is our Thursday weekly broadcast on workplace racism. Great illustration of the importance of codification. The entire reason that things got delayed today, helping white people. I state this consistently on the program. That's one of the things that we can do to work against racism. No helping white people. And I said, man, even something that I even have to make sure that I am working on, when you are around other victims of racism and they don't have your code, you know, they help white people or they just have a different view of racism. They have white friends and all that stuff. Cool in the gang. Just because they have a different, you know, perspective on things, that cannot compromise your codification, where in any way, shape, form, you end up having to break or alter what you would normally do in terms of how you function in relation to individuals classified as white. So that is my lesson for the day, and ended up throwing off my schedule for a good 3, 4, 5 minutes or so, causing the delay in the start of the program. But all that remedied and lesson learned for Gus T, and hopefully listeners can learn one vicariously through Gus, no helping white people. Very, very important that we try to stick to that as best we can. For workplace racism, folks have commentary. If you have observations, and particularly if you have figured out some things that work well, if you have, hey, whatever you need to do, if it's what to say, what to do, this is in policy and procedure that is going to help you stay out of trouble, keep those promotions, not have any write-ups or any nasty conversations with whoever your supervisor or boss is on the job. We need you to be one of the first folks to dial in. That number, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you would like to participate. And you can feel free to email in as well. I will again encourage folks, this broadcast is not for spectators. This is not one where you look forward to every Thursday, where you can get excited, where you can either watch Scandal or prepare to watch Scandal by hearing about the trials and tribulations of black people on their job over the past week. That's not what this is for. Dr. Welsing regularly encouraged black people to make sure that we are speaking honestly about racism. This is something that's impacting all of us on our jobs in a variety of different ways. This is something that we should be able to have some honest dialogue about, the way that this is impacting us, and some strategies, not just to moan and wail, but I mean to really think of some tactics that can help us in these situations to minimize some of that stress and to see if we can solve some of these problems, because I think that can definitely happen. Some of these things just comes down to what you say, what you don't say, being aware of policy and procedure. Those things right there can be hugely helpful in minimizing some of the strife on the job. With that, I'll read a few of the things that folks have written in. I won't share them all at the beginning, but I'll sprinkle them in as we go. One of our longtime investors, Cynical African, I think a lot of folks are familiar with the website, cynicalafrican.com. He has shared a lot of workplace racism experiences. I think people who've listened to the compensatory call-in, he used to share regularly when he worked with more whites, different tacky racist jokes and things that they would do on the job, and just things that he would do to codify his behavior. But he wrote in this week, he shared, let me see if I can pull it up. The email, untiljustice@gmail.com. If you want to make sure that you're anonymous, if you want to join Cynical African and others who wrote in their experience, feel free to do so. untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. So this is what Cynical African wrote in. A non-white, non-black friend of mine said that at her job, an employee bought Timbits for everyone. I don't know what that is. Timbits, I guess that's some sort of food item, perhaps. Maybe someone can let us know if you are familiar with Timbits. So this racist female comes and takes a black Timbits and says, "Will you look at that? A nigger ball." Nobody made a fuss about what the racist said, and they just carried on with their day. Standard. I'm going to have to look, because I've never heard of Timbits. I am a little ignorant, so I'll have to make a check. Okay, this looks like some sort of pastry item. These look like maybe donut holes or something in that realm that you could probably get from like a pastry shop, some sort of sugary, doughy snack item. I think Mr. Ken Steele, he dials in pretty regularly for workplace racism, where he had said food maybe can, it might be a slightly safer conversation to get away from some of the tackiness of racism. And I said then with a laugh, I don't know. I have seen whites get really, really trashy at mealtime and at the snack table and what have you. This might be another example, but just got to keep that in mind. I said, be prepared. Someone emailed, or they didn't email, but they Facebooked me today a few hours before we went live, and they said that they had some sort of mandatory outing, workplace outing, and they were just asking for tips, any suggestions, and I stay sober. That's number one. This was early enough in the day that, you know, I would hope they were not going out to the bar to get lathered up, but hey, we've heard from enough people that that is something that happens a lot. So that would be number one, to stay sober. Two, to just be observant and to be prepared, because frequently in these sort of settings, people are a little bit more relaxed. Sometimes the alcohol is flowing. And so the tackiness, like with what we just heard, you never know. The racist jokes, anything could happen. So be prepared so that you're not surprised, and even be alert. You can be taking notes, because a lot of times things can happen that becomes important, that ends up being something that gets discussed on the job. And we start talking about promotions, or is somebody going to keep their job? So I would be observant. And I don't know how long the situation, this event was. He didn't give a time outline, but if you know, this is potentially something that's going to be a lengthy affair. Like, you know, this could be something where they're like, hey, we're going to hang out for the next 3-4 hours. We're going to spend the rest of the afternoon together. I would already have an escape planned, where if it's, you have children that you have to pick up from school, you have a family member that you have to get to an appointment, you have some, you have people that are coming to the house for repairs, whatever you need to, you know, think up, you know that you have a limited amount of time that you're going to be engaged in all this, whatever it is, 40 minutes, 30 minutes. This is the time that I'm going to invest for this, and then I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to be here 5 hours. You can even let people know up front, so it's not some sort of abrupt thing that you already have, you know, pressing time matters that have to be addressed. Other people wrote in as well, but I think I'll go ahead and get to callers. The number again is 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you would like to participate. And for folks in the St. Louis area, the audio clip that we started with, we were all set to go with that. If you're in the St. Louis area, that workshop that they're having, their wording is women of color, even though it does seem like a lot of it was focused on difficulties black females in particular have in the workplace. You can go check that out. Let us know if they have any constructive information. I know we have listeners in the Missouri area. If you want to check it out, you want the link or anything, drop me an email and I would be happy to send you the information. Folks who dialed in who have a hand up, line should be open. Feel free.
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking my call. This is a black female caller from Ohio, one of them. There's two of us. Just wanted to give you an update. One, my job situation, I did finally get a new supervisor, of course, another racist suspect, white. I have been telling, like, maybe people close to me about just how refined he seems to be. He's always definitely, he seems to be very jovial, I guess, like happy and joking around, wanting to talk about like personal life, and wanted to definitely ask you questions about your personal life. And like I said before, I keep it very, you know, basic. If I do feel like I should have to share something that maybe help with my job situation, I actually, and another thing that I'm definitely glad that I learned from the show is just to be a lot more observant, not just of whites, but also of non-whites as well. I spoke about wanting to go to a different position in a different department. And of course, like racist man, racist woman, racist child always do, they somehow hinder that. And I'm kind of mad at myself that I don't remember exactly when I had asked my previous supervisor to see if I can move over to a different position, because at the job that I'm at, you have to ask your supervisor before even applying or anything like that. So he immediately said, no, we can't, you know, we need you in this department. We can't lose you because we can't replace you fast enough, basically along those lines. And then he was replaced by another white man, and a white woman ended up getting promoted out of my same area. And I try not to be so upset, but I saw a non-white female that I work with, and she was talking because she was actually kind of taking over the white woman's position for like her work. And she had told me when she had came on to the job or to the, into my area that the white woman had already told her that she was already in the process of leaving. And I feel like this is definitely around the same time that I was asking to go to a different area. So just definitely being really trying to control my emotions because, of course, this is how what they do. This is how they operate on, you know, in every area. So I guess that is, the last thing is that I have been, since I've gotten a new supervisor, I've definitely tried to be more codified, and I feel like I've always spoken very proper with him, and for whatever reason, he has sent me a message, and he said, like, basically, you know, I guess he was speaking slang to me about, like, a good job that I did. And I definitely took offense to that. I made sure I saved the conversation, at least. But I just couldn't understand why, if I was speaking to him, basically just how I speak on the show, why I feel like that would be necessary. But, of course, like I said, suspect racist. That's all I have to share today. Thank you.
Wow. I am a victim of white supremacy, still trying my best, but I just read a report. It was about workplace racism. I think I might have made audio of this. So even in my failure, I think I'm going to catch myself because I think we'll hear this on Saturday. But it was a black female, and she was talking about workplace racism, and she was saying that the white people on her job, they would talk to her. Same thing. She, you know, good morning, Ted. Good morning, Mr. Johnson. Good morning, Mrs. Phillips. That sort of thing. Correct, typical business dialogue, the way that you would expect someone to speak to you if you're in an office setting. And she said that her white coworkers would respond to her and be like, you know, for shizzle. And that sort of just racist nonsense where she was like, what is going on? Like, I have never spoke to someone like that here. You've never heard me talk like that. And it would be just her. They wouldn't talk to the other people like that. They would just do this to her when if she was present. Then they would start, you know, making little comments like that when they spoke to people. And I've heard that from other callers here on the Cows for years, where they've talked about the exact same thing, where it's like the black person is present. Now we want to show all of our cute Negro slang that we've picked up from our years of, you know, listening to rap music or, you know, whatever else that they've done. I would say what you did in terms of noting that, taking notes of that can be great, because that's what this black female did. She has a lawsuit and everything. Particularly if any of that pops up in an email, gold, print it out, save. You can just put that in your little file. But if they're saying stuff like that, I would just make note, and that can be one that you go in the question lane. You can even wait one day while after they, if you notice that this has happened repeatedly in the way that they talk to you, you can just wait one day, real casual. Wow. Bob, can I ask you a question? You know, some days when you speak to me or you're here and you'll say something to me like for shizzle or whatever it is, why is it that you only say that to me? You only talk that way to me and you don't speak to anyone else. And you can just see what they say. That's just, I said consistently, I'm a big fan of the question lane. But if you want to ask a question, that's one. I'm sure there are others. And that's one that you can just make notification if they're talking to you a little different, some racism in the words that they choose. You can just make note of that sort of thing. But going to happen sounds like just being aware, just being prepared for this sort of thing. I think that goes a long way to us not being stressed. That's one of the main things that you want to make sure you're not having a emotional stress response to what has got to be expected racist behavior. Did other folks have either commentary for what we heard from our first female caller in Ohio? If you had your own situation you wanted to share, feel free. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up. Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I was thinking about how, I guess, when white people, they'll greet you in certain ways where the terms are associated with me being classified as black. And I notice how they'll do that, too. Like, just a couple of days ago, for example, it was like, it wasn't necessarily directed to me, but like they, the white lady I was helping out to, when I mean help, like I was basically showing her how to do my job duties for when I take a vacation, so she'll know how to do the backup work. So they said, like, you know, SUP, like, sup, like, what's up? And, you know, that was pretty much, I guess, being humorous to each other about it, but I think that may have something to do with me being in their presence. So just like what you had basically just brought up, they'll do things indirectly, say things indirectly, and many victims still think it has to be some kind of racial slur or something that's more blatant and direct. But that comes from not understanding the system and their thought, speech, and action, racist thought, speech, and action. But I had a couple of observations. I think you remember when I was talking about the suspected race soldier, the, I guess he was a so-called homeless person, and he had like a limp to him or whatever, and he was calling me nigger and stuff. Apparently, he has been arrested on a felony with two counts of aggravated assault, and it was toward two non-white people, I believe a black male and another one who was called, I guess, so-called Hispanic. And on the arrest report or the sworn complaint, it says that he was calling them stupid ASS niggers. Like, it's, you know, they have in quotes, explicit language. So this person, the two counts was he had a blade, like a knife in his pocket. But on the second page, it says that he denied the physical act. Okay. Like, he denied pulling out the knife, a 5-inch pocket knife. That's what it said on the report. See, now he denied that, but, you know, he said he did, you know, call him what he said, you know, stupid ASSN. So I found that fascinating how they'll, you know, they'll deny that they did something physical, but they said what they said verbally. And he's in jail on, I believe, $20,000 bond. So it's been about a month now since that occurred, and, you know, basically took all of that happening. And I opened it up with that to say that earlier this week, that to show the difference in response, that apparently there was a black male who, I guess, assaulted a female. They didn't release the racial classification, like, across the street at the city hall. And, like, maybe within under an hour, they sent out an email of a surveillance picture of this person. And, you know, they sent out two more pictures. And, you know, they said, well, you know, we just got to find this person and this and that. And, you know, I got in the Jeep, and then I had to go pick up the mail down the street. And there were tons of squad cars and a bunch of officers standing outside. Like, every officer was white, you know. You know, I just thought about that. And, you know, the priority that took place, you know, if a black person is accused of doing something, or there's a white person that has been, I guess, attacked in some kind of way. But, you know, I was harmed in all of those ways, and it didn't necessarily have that same priority, but, you know, I expected it. And I also wanted to say that because, you know, I was thinking they could pretty much get me lumped in with that and start to, you know, rough me up or possibly pretty much kill me or something like that. And, you know, I'd be just another black person face on the news, and I might not even make the news. But, you know, I think about stuff like that, especially when there's a heightened police presence. And, you know, I wanted to mention that. And one last thing, like, speaking of language, like sometimes I'll say, you know, greetings, and, you know, I'll say, how's it going? You know, like a variant of ways of greeting people, black people, non-white, white, whoever it is. And, you know, I did this, and this, this new civil court director lady, you know, she says, you know, I said greetings, you know, And the person I was training, she said, you know, hey, or whatever. And she looked at me, she said, greetings. And then the non-white people started laughing, you know, when she said that. And, you know, and then she said aliens. The non-white person said aliens, like how they say greetings, aliens, earthlings. So, you know, I just wanted to point that out. And that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Wow. Very interesting. I remember that situation. I think that was shared on Workplace Racism sometime back when this vagrant race soldier was maligning you and I think even other coworkers eventually. He should have a track record when his felony hearing comes up. If he wants to deny the weapon or not, it should be the same way they do with us. It should be a long paper trail. He's what they call a repeat offender, where he has been harassing people and using terroristic language for a long, long time. That should, you know, be factored in my opinion, when his court day comes, because that's the same thing that they do to us black people, even, you know, other crimes that you're not charged with. And expecting that difference in behavior, the way that they responded to a black person allegedly being accused of a crime and the resources that were marshaled behind that. That is, you know, standard operating procedure anywhere in the world under racism, white supremacy. Those greetings, Dr. Kanban talks about that a lot. That's why he says, I think he was one of the first ones to come on the program and say to not say good morning to white people or good afternoon. You just afternoon, evening, morning, or you repeat whatever greeting, whatever they say to you. But I would even try and minimize those because the tackiness comes out immediately. Get the greeting over with, and then if it's business, I say that consistently, get back to business-related matters. That'll be the confines of what we're going to speak about. Other folks have commentary, either comments, questions on what we've heard thus far. If you have your own questions or commentary you would like to share, line should be open. Feel free.
Yes, sir. Greetings, everyone. Once again, I will continuously to understand that white people have a keen understanding of racism, white supremacy that goes beyond their victims. They also know within the workplace that there's a lot of racial tension that goes on that's just there in the atmosphere, because now this is where in a lot of cases that white people are close to non-white people who they are going to have subject for mistreatment. So therefore, it's kind of like what I've seen, that like the movie Godfather, how they don't just get angry before they kill the person. They make the person think that everything is all right, and then all of a sudden, bam, you know, that sort of thing. In that case in the movie, the mistreatment was killing. But in this particular case, they want to keep the tension down. So this is where all of the verbiage and also the physical stuff, like wanting to put their arm around a non-white person or shake their hand, all of those type of gestures. And in this particular case, like the lady who made a report earlier, they have a keen understanding of the altered language that we have picked up. That's just a more of addition of what I'm talking about, by them using this type of terminology towards us, and they expect that they're going to get a desired response, which is laughter. Really gives them the sign, okay, it's okay now. I can deal with this non-white person, and sometimes in a way that is not to their best interest, because I got their attention in a favorable sort of way. So that's what it tells me. That's how I interpret it. From my years in the workplace, they would do that. Unfortunately, for the most part, they get the desired response, unfortunately, from what I've seen on the most part. What I've learned to practice is to don't change my facial expression. It looks straight, not necessarily a mean look, but look straight through them as far as they're concerned. Now, what you're going to get a subject with then is from you're going to get the comment, well, this person is not a team. He's not a team player, quote unquote, you know, that sort of thing. And a lot of times, but though, when it comes to that point, you can challenge that by asking that person, well, what is a team player? What is a team player? You know, and let them and don't help them with the answer, you know, as far as they're concerned. But that's how I see that situation with the those different type of terminology, and they're expecting it is designed directly for a non-white person, a non-white black person in most cases. Although I've seen it done with other non-white people who weren't black. But yeah, that's what that basically is. It's one of those many different type of verbal and or physical gestures. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Other folks that we have not heard from at all who have a hand up, line should be open.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. It's Ken Steele, and I'm in Orange County. And I just wanted to report that I know this might be, I guess, self-evident to the listeners, but if you are new or if you are a little confused about racism, one thing that I've learned in my latest role is that, or something that was not, I didn't just learn, but something that has been underscored in my latest role is that managers exist oftentimes to make you feel worse. That is all. My manager last week, very recently, earlier this week, pretty much let me know that I don't appear to be stressed enough on the job. I think he said this in explicit terms. You know, he said, I'm too relaxed, I'm too comfortable. And, you know, I had to correct him. I said, I'm not very relaxed. I am stressed, you know, all of the correct things that I should be stressed about in my role. They stress me out, but I'm not, you know, I guess I'm not wearing a worried face on my face, I guess. And, it kind of goes back to when they banned headphones. I don't think they were banning all headphones. They were banning over-the-ear headphones, and I happen to wear over-the-ear headphones because I see other people with their headphones in, but everybody has earbuds and, you know, small ones, but nobody has the over-the-ear headphones, and I guess they were banned for me. That's what it seems like. I have, you know, other people on my team, they're using headphones and everything like that. Now, I have my little earpiece, but it's quite different from, you know, something that you're actually comfortable with and you know, actually has stereo sound and everything like that. But, he basically explicitly let me know that, you know, he didn't think that I was stressed enough. Well, interesting. I was at an urgent care facility for an ear infection because of my earpiece. Anyway, and when I got it, when I got my blood pressure tested, it was elevated. And, you know, this is right after, you know, I was told that I'm way too relaxed at this position. So, you know, I presented that to, you know, my manager. I just let him know that I was going through the situation, and I had mentioned my blood pressure and everything like that. And what do you know? From then on, I have not heard anything about me not being stressed enough on the job. And they've definitely fallen back he's definitely fallen back from just dragging me into meetings just to browbeat me and everything. Earlier, also in that same meeting, he said in an email that I was being pushy by asking him, if we had covered everything. Because it was 25 minutes into what was scheduled to be a 15-minute meeting, and he was repeating himself. And, I basically had gotten, the point of everything he was saying. It just seemed like all that was happening was the longer he was staying in my presence, he was just getting madder and madder at me. And, I just asked him the simple question again, am I allowed to ask questions? Because in this email, you said that I was being pushy when I was asking if we were finished after we had talked for 25 minutes. And over 25 minutes, and we had re-stressed every single main talking point. So I don't know how that is pushy, but I was just wondering if we are allowed to ask questions or not. Then he was also asking about lunch breaks and this, that, and the other. And he and a few other of my colleagues like to eat at their desks, and we have state mandated lunch hours. So I asked him, he's always on me for leaving for lunch, being on my own time. I don't need to be on the sales floor all day. And then I asked him, and he mentioned this in an email, and then I asked him, are we allowed to take lunch breaks? And I never got any responses for any of those direct questions. So I think that we need to be more willing to ask our managers questions and understand that some of these managers are here specifically just to get you heated, specifically to make you upset. I think they may be pretty proud to hear that I have an elevated blood pressure or whatever. So I guess that's my contribution for now.
Appreciate that, Mr. Steele. I think we've had a number of CALS listeners over the years where they have commented about that, whites on the job just being there to have you stress. In fact, I think you were the one that mentioned the case just within the last few days, the black engineer who was under so much stress that his family, his wife, his widow, mother of his children, said it was because of racism, all the pressure that he was under, and particularly in what they call Silicon Valley. But yeah, I think that's the case regularly. And I know you had been talking previously about how you had been doing pretty well. You'd been having some success at your job. And I've stated for years that I'm not saying you, I'm just saying in general that I think a lot of times black people think, hey, if we go on our jobs and do well and if we're successful, that, white people will say, hey, this is not just some dumb nigger. This is an all right guy. Or this is an all right, woman we got here. That's not the case at all. And frequently, if they see a black person doing well, you're competent, intelligent, studied hard, you're doing well on the job, oh, they really want to put you back in your place and abuse and terrorize you. So, yeah, it seems like they could have just been saying, hey, Mr. Steele has been doing really well. Who does that nigger think he is? We're going to come and mess with him. Let's see if we can change it up and fuss about his pants and, change the rules so he can't have his headphones. Just nag, 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 pick, pick, pick. Just anything that they can do. I think that's just standard operating procedure for racists on the job. And hopefully, as I said, I hope one of the things this program, we get a better understanding that that is the case. It sounds like that's the case for you. And then figuring out ways to minimize some of those issues as we move along and asking questions, one of the core ways we can do that, I think. Other folks that we've not heard from at all, other people who have a hand up that we've not heard from at all, did you have commentary? Yes, sir.
Good evening, everybody. 2812, mortgage banker and a VA. I have a little situation. So I think I told everybody last week that there was a white woman that got fired that I was sharing an office with. She actually came in today to get her flowers. It wasn't even really awkward. It was just different, And she came in, got her flowers and everything and left. No inappropriate contact or talking or anything, it was just hey, you know, sorry that happened, and, you know, move on. But the main thing I wanted to bring up was the manager of the office. I work in a real estate office, and the majority of the people that work in the office are, quote, unquote, what we like to call self-employed. But they're independent contractors. And so there is a broker, and he is a non-white black male. And there's another guy, not two, both guys, you know, they do pretty well for themselves, but they're non-white black male. And the broker says he's done a couple of things according to his company policy that would be what I just say are incorrect. And I'll use this example. The mortgage company that I work for has a relationship with a real estate company. And I can use a metaphor on this call. So I use the metaphor. It's like, it's almost, I guess, I don't know, Ebony owned the cows and they went to Gus and said, okay, well, whenever you do your broadcast, you just advertise Ebony magazine. So it's the same equivalent. However, this broker has been having other mortgage companies come into the office, and he actually had his wife, who's a black female, teach a class in the office, which is against policy. My white manager, who I just saw fire a white woman for almost nothing, it wasn't due to production, for what I found out, came in and he was sitting down talking to me after he fired the woman. He was like, yeah, the gentleman, I don't think this office is going to grow, you know, with him being there. And he saw some flyers from somebody else there, and he was like, this is incorrect. So he takes pictures of this stuff, and he sends it up to the president of the company. And so, you know, they're like, they're going to go talk to him. My question is, do I say something to the non-white male? Because it really doesn't matter to me whether or not I do business with him. I do enough business. I could really care less. And I also don't want to be on a job and harm another black person. But what he is doing is incorrect. And he and I have had conversations before that have been constructive, just about work, not about necessarily racism, but just about work in our positions. But I was just wondering, if I see him doing something incorrect, because I don't work, he doesn't work, we don't work together. We just share office space. But if you see another non-white person doing something incorrect, knowing that it looks like these white people are going to try to put the hammer down, do you say something to that person? That's my question.
How interesting. I guess, or number one, are you leaning one way or the other? Are you leaning towards saying something to him, or just, you know, keeping your mouth shut and minding your own business, United Independent? And if you are leaning towards saying something, do you already have an idea about, you know, how you would phrase what it is you want to say?
I was leaning on actually saying something. Because he and I have, you know, we've talked and we've developed a good rapport. And so I was leaning on just saying something and mentioning and just saying, hey, there's been some rumbles about what happened with the other company. And I understand that, you know, you have a significant other that works for this other company. But the management team was really not happy about it. And a lot of people are talking about it, and I just wanted to make you aware. That was going to be my statement. I didn't want to, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, you're getting fired or something like that, but because it does put me in a very weird situation, because what my company actually wants me to do is to try to get business from this gentleman. And like I said, if he doesn't want to do business with me, that's okay. But I also don't want to see another black person get fired.
Right. That, I don't know, listeners, folks that are listening, what do you think? Do you let this other victim of racism, black person, do you let the person know that some of the racist race soldiers on the job might not be pleased with some of the things that they have done, just as a word of caution, so that they can be a little bit more performed as they proceed? Or do you just say, hey, I'm United Independent, I'm not going to get involved. Doesn't have anything to do with me. I don't want to cause any conflict or what have you. Do folks have any suggestions which way you would go?
Can I be heard?
Heard both of you. Let's.
All right, go ahead.
I was going to get the female caller first. There we go.
Oh, okay. I just want to be quick. I know I'm not as knowledgeable as everyone else, but I know if it were me, and I feel like it's kind of, I've kind of been in that situation, I would try to make it as, I guess, nonchalant as possible. If I were to, you know, just speak to the person, like have a casual conversation, and then just kind of slowly kind of drift into maybe like the policies and procedures, or just like what the black male was saying, like he knows that, you know, he obviously knows that, you know, these things are incorrect, or even if you don't want to do that, because I also know that I'm very anxious about a lot of different things, because you don't ever know, like, how I've heard in other episodes or what have you, how it could also work against you. Like the other black male could try to then turn it around on you. So you might also even want to think about kind of somehow doing it anonymous, maybe a note or something like that. I don't know. But like I said, those are just my thoughts.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Just wanted to, I guess, to piggyback on the previous caller. I think that she is correct. Anonymous notification would be the route that I would take on this one. I'm a huge fan of anonymous emails. You can, just search, you know, Google for anonymous email, and you can get a 10-minute email, you know, an email that only exists for 10 minutes, whatever. And if you have this person's email and you know that they check their email regularly, you're informing them of a situation. You can, when being anonymous, be as explicit as you want. So when you were saying your original thoughts about how you were going to address this to the person, I heard that, you know, there was a lot of what I would describe as kind of humming and hawing, you know, a little mealy-mouthed doublespeak that could be interpreted. If you want to just straight up say, hey, these people are could be firing, could be potentially planning to fire you without it coming back to you that you were the informant, yeah, I would use an anonymous email, and I would just say it in explicit terms. And, you know, I would make sure not to indicate who exactly is sending it. And I would be very careful not to give away your identity in the way that you respond. I don't know. I write my anonymous emails like I phrase them. I use white women terms. I try to sound like a concerned white woman when I'm writing anonymous emails. So, just if you have a specific thought, speech pattern or something, or words that people can key in on that, hey, this is, you know, Brett, this is, you know, this is Mike, avoid those words, avoid those phraseologies, avoid any of that. Just sound as anonymous as possible and as frank as you like.
Two votes for saying something, although saying it anonymously, which certainly can be done. I guess that would be another aspect of technology. That's maybe something that would not have been possible when Mr. Fuller started out his work career. Not even as far back as that. That's, you know, the anonymous email. That's relatively a new wrinkle in the workplace environment. Did other people have suggestions? Do you say something? Do you not say something? And any recommendations for how you would go about doing that? Do we have other folks that have suggestions, or they're interested? Oh, I might have missed some of the hands here. Let's see here. Any of the folks that dialed in more recently with a hand up, did you all have suggestions on whether or not you would say something or not?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Good evening to guests. Good evening to the other listeners and guests. To Sam out of KC. Usually, what I try to do is I had that situation pop up on me, and I usually ask the other victim questions. So I if we're both somewhat aware, but I might not be as know as intimately what's exactly going on, then I usually ask questions. I ask how's everything going, or why you think that manager or whatever did that, or and I kind of lead into there, and I sometimes go, well, it seems like this is going on, or you know, I try to ask questions, and then from that point on I try to, I don't know, guide the victim in the what exactly is going on, and then options. I give options without giving it definite. I give options and leave it open to give options, or to sometimes if me and the other victim know the person's temperament, we both generally know the person's temperament, not anything that would get us in trouble or get retribution. We talk about their temperament in very general terms, and then, you know, I may say, well, this is how I might handle it, or with that type of temperament, what do you think, you know, is the best course of action? And for me, it's been, for the most part, it's been constructive. But then, you know, there it again, with victims, like the caller, the female caller from out of Ohio, I'm gauging and assessing the victim myself to make sure that this isn't an individual that I may have blowback from. But even still, when I ask questions, I hope that my questioning and talking about it in very general terms really doesn't have any blowback. If I assess that the victim is still very, very, very much confused about the situation and is really not on a constructive course, then after that, I kind of take my leave. If I assess that they're not, I take my leave. Because I cannot help you anymore in this situation from what I assess. So if I see that you're not, then I take my leave. That's pretty much how I handle it. It's still evolving. I'm still confused. Still a victim, and so I'm still learning. Oh, also too, thank you, Mr. Kent Steele. I didn't know that. So I just picked up something constructive in this conversation. So thank you. Gus, you can go ahead and mute me.
Right on. I think Emmy joined us as well. Did you have a commentary on whether or not you say something in this situation?
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Greetings, everybody. I can understand the hesitation in saying something, but I have. In the past, I've always said something. I've never not said things. I used to be like a property assistant for a property management company. So we had security and day porters and stuff, and even myself being contracted. So all of us in very precarious situations in terms of our employment, because they can just let us go and replace us at any time. And there was always talk about who was getting fired and who was getting let go. All of us are non-white. And so whenever I heard something, I would say something. And but I will say that I had that type of relationship or rapport with the folks to let them know that their behavior was being monitored. And that's pretty much what I would just say. I'd be very upfront with it. Like, they're looking at you. I don't know if you're trying to do what you're doing. I don't know if that's what you mean to be doing. I don't know if you thought you could get away with it. But you're being watched and they're not like cool with it, because nobody wants to lose a job unless, and you know, sometimes you can ask like, you know, are you like, I don't know, like what you're trying to do. But sometimes what happens is we get comfortable because we don't understand, the system of white supremacy. We don't really we can think that we're so good. Like, no one's going to fire me. Like, what you talking about? I just let my wife use the conference room. Like, that's no biggie. I saw John do it the other day, like whatever it is. And we think that we're like white people and we're not. And some, like, it's really hard to, for people, for us as victims, to keep that in the forefront of our mind that we're not like that. We're not, we can never get comfortable. And sometimes we do. And I feel like that, I don't want to say it's my responsibility, but I feel like it's one of the things that I can do in the meantime, until I just figure out how I'm going to replace the whole system, is to make, you know, let people know, because I do focus on it more, like, hey, I don't, you know, you slipping a little bit. And I say it in a way that it's not, hey, I'm not trying to start nothing or whatever. I just feel like maybe you don't know what's going on. And I just try to make it like I come all the way down. Like, I'm not hoity-toity with it. I'm not any kind of thing with it. I'm just letting you know, white people talking and they're not happy. And sometimes, like, one of the good things is, like, sometimes that works, because then they're actually able to go and correct the problem. They can say, you know, hey, Bill or John or whatever, I've given it some thought, and are we okay? Like, is there any kind of tension? And they can work that out. Like, I've actually seen that happen. Sometimes they didn't know, for instance, the security officer could be having their headphones on, and they got comfortable. They knew they weren't supposed to have their headphones on in the front desk, but they got comfortable. Property management saw it, went downstairs and was talking about it. I overheard it and was like, yo, before property management leaves the office, you probably don't want to have your headphones in. Next thing you know, they were like, they made sure that they took them off every time they were coming, and like, excuse me, you know, my bad, you know, whatever. And the person didn't get fired and get let go. Sometimes we can cover each other's backs and make sure, like, and just fix the problem. Sometimes, like, I don't even know, maybe white people even want us to do that. They'll say things around us intentionally, hoping we'll run back and let them know so they can fix it. No one has to get fired. They don't have to look bad, and they can avoid the drama. Because sometimes they do want that person, but they don't want whatever it is that they're doing. So they want us to kind of check each other. I don't know. But I don't ever want non-white people to lose employment, because it's so hard to get and keep a job. So maybe that person is just slacking. And I like to give non-white people the benefit of the doubt. I like to think that we do care and we're just not aware. Not that we're just doing stuff on purpose to just be like whatever. That's not my initial go-to when it comes to us non-white, specifically Black people. But I can understand your apprehension, but that's just how I would kick it. I don't even know if it has to be. I respect everybody's opinion and saying that, you know, anonymously and stuff. But if you all like talk, and you know what I'm saying, I don't see what's wrong with being like, yo, you know what I mean? I don't think you really want to be using a conference room and blah, 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 blah. And maybe, you know, they can go ahead and get on that tapping up and keep their job, so both y'all can make money. Because I think you're supposed to be trying to get money from him, and he might be getting money from you. So, you know, y'all could keep each other making money, if that makes any sense. I hope it was helpful. Thank you.
Sounds like, I think everyone thus far has said they would say something. I guess it comes down to how, whether you do it anonymously or just kind of ask questions to kind of lead them in the vicinity of correct thinking, or just putting it bluntly, these crackers are about to fire you. Shape up, man. Seems like everyone is leaning in the direction of saying something. Anybody else have commentary on suggestions for this caller?
I just wanted to say that to previous caller Emmy, yes, these suspected racists who are in charge at these various plantations will use victims to convey messages to other victims if they think that the message may not be received in a favorable manner. For example, they sent a Black male, a fellow victim of racism, to tell me to suggest to me that I not wear so many colorful hoodies. And I you know, I understood what was happening, and what I didn't want to do was create conflict. I that's what was my biggest thing. When I see that happening, I just want to mitigate any conflict. I want to make sure that, you know, everybody feels okay about each other. And then if, you know, I personally have a problem when I feel like a non-white person is conveying a message from racists. You know, it doesn't strike me the right way.
and I know when it's happening. So, you know, I try to make sure that in those situations, I do know that racists oftentimes will try to get us to fight or argue about stuff, and I just make sure to note to anybody who wants to convey these messages, just be aware that, you know, oftentimes it's just a very awkward situation when that occurs.
I know. I appreciate that, Mr. Steele. Context of white supremacy, workplace racism. The number again is 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. I think joining us all the way from the UK at roughly 2:15 in the AM Friday morning. Stacy, are you with us, Stacy?
I guess.
Morning. Happy Friday to you, Stacy. Did you have commentary you wanted to share, or are you just listening? She's only been with us for a short period, so if you want to listen for a little while longer until you get acclimated, that's fine too.
Yeah, I was just update in a minute, but I was just sitting here thinking about the last caller actually, and I do agree with most people that I would want to say something. I was sitting here wondering about what the reason was for the manager confiding in the particular individual, and I think as some people have said, it may be the case that they're just using one person to relay a message before a problem escalates. But I'd just be a bit cautious as well. I mean, I in the past have passed on information to other non-white colleagues that, you know, certain things are about to happen. But, you know, I was just sitting there thinking, what's the agenda? Are they, and it could be that they're just using them to pass on the message, or are they testing to see, you know, whether the particular individual will pass that message on? You know, maybe the agenda is slightly wider. However, I probably would say something. I would just do it in a more casual way, i.e. focusing on the procedure. You know, perhaps you shouldn't be doing this. Be careful. You never know when you're being watched. And perhaps leave it there. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, at some point, the individual needs to decide what way they're going to go. But those were just my thoughts listening into the question itself. I'll mute my line, Gus.
Appreciate that, Stacy from London joining us. I am not into discussing television on workplace racism at all, but this is something that I saw recently, and it is connected to Breaking Bad, which is something that we talked about on the program. We've done multiple programs and had white guests on to talk about as well, but there's a segment in the prequel that's ongoing where a black person, a black employee, it is a workplace setting, a black employee hears something, and a white person allows them to overhear. They give the impression that this was an accident, the black person overhearing this, that they didn't want them to hear this, and, you know, you can't repeat this, and blah, 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 and all this. The black person does end up sharing this information, helping a white person. They go to share what they overheard, and it turns out that that is exactly what the white person intended from the very beginning. They quote unquote made a mistake where this black person overheard this. They do go share and they end up firing the black person, and they have a whole plan. I do think that that is something to think about, that white people, even beyond Hollywood, the regular old whites that were around on a regular basis, even many of them are that cunning where you could think that you overheard this or you got this information or what have you, but they wanted you to have that information, and they may have even wanted you to share it with another non-white person, the way some of you all have been saying that, you know, sometimes they might want you to be the unofficial messenger to see if you can get this problem resolved. I do still agree with the general thrust. If you think that this black person's job is seriously in jeopardy, or even, you know, that this is a serious problem that, you know, he should know about and try to do what he can to modify his behavior. I definitely think it's worthwhile to say, in particular, if you all have a rapport. I think that was important as well. This is not some stranger, someone that you all talk, you're friendly. I think it's worth it, you know, to figure out however you're comfortable sharing that information, if you want to do it anonymously or if you just want to chat it up and just share your concerns, however you're comfortable presenting. But that makes logical sense. But I think that's important as well. White people generally do not make errors. They generally, the things in a workplace context that we know generally are things that they want us to know. White people seem to be pretty good at withholding information from non-white people, and oftentimes very constructive information they're good at withholding. Anything else, or folks want to share other commentary, or folks have their own situation, anyone that we've not heard from in terms of you had your own workplace incident you want to discuss, feel free.
I guess.
Yes, ma'am.
If no one else is going to give their update, I will, if that's okay.
Proceed.
Okay. As people know, I've been dealing with a situation where a particular male individual made an accusation that I was shouting at him. And I essentially told management that he would have to either submit his complaint or withdraw it. And most recently, I was told that he wasn't going to put in his complaint, but that his manager, who is also a non-white female, has a number of concerns about me, and therefore my manager wants to facilitate a three-way meeting so that she can discuss her concerns. So that meeting happened last week. And if I laugh at this while I'm relaying this, it's not because I find it amusing, because I really didn't. It's just there's an element of this which is absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, I just want to be clear that this has had a lot of, you know, caused me a lot of anxiety, even though, you know, obviously I'm dealing with it and I'm just at a point where I'm not going to tolerate the nonsense. So the meeting took place last week, and she was given the opportunity to list her concerns. At the start of the meeting, I did ask both people what it was that they intended to get out of the meeting, including my manager. And she was saying, well, this is just an informal conversation, you know, so that we can you know, discuss any concerns and hopefully resolve any confusion. And so I made sure I was noting everything down. So her list, I won't go through all of her concerns, but needless to say, I had a full sheet of A4 paper by the end of it. And starting off with how I handled the accusation made against me. She didn't think it needed to escalate as far as it did, i.e. that I wanted him to formalise it. She just wanted to have a chat. And then we talked about exactly how she relayed that message to me, i.e. that it was serious, that he was very upset, that he has witnesses, etc., etc., etc. And she had insisted on meeting with me and had been corresponding with me by email. At no point in the emails that she was sending did she indicate that what the discussion was about, but it was insisting that it was urgent, and had appeared at my desk that morning, even though I told her that I didn't have time to meet with her because I was about to go on holiday. She was very insistent, and my managers and the manager in the team, in fact, it was probably the full team in the office that day, and, you know, it was pin drop silence, so obviously everybody knew it was going to happen. So this thing was presented to me as a really serious matter. And I had been trying to meet with her about his wider job description and responsibilities. And she had said to me in the meeting, we're going to park that matter. We need to deal with this. It's really urgent. So I said to her in our informal discussion where she was listing her concerns about me, I said, well, listen to the language that you used. Why would I think it was anything other than serious? You said it was serious. You said he had witnesses. You said he was very upset, etc., etc. Oh, but I didn't want it to escalate that. I just wanted to have a chat. And so I said to her again, listen to the language that you used. And then she acknowledged that actually she gave me the impression that it was very serious. But she just wanted to have a chat. So I said, well, the other point about that is you've relayed an accusation to me. It's not anyone else's decision how I respond to an accusation made against me. I don't want to handle it as a little chat. It's an accusation. And that was the point at which everybody had to accept that you can have an opinion, but it's my decision ultimately. She then said that she felt she only had 5 minutes to discuss it with me. I wouldn't give her any more than 5 minutes to discuss it. I said, what are you talking about? You didn't inform me what this meeting was about. You asked me for 10 minutes. We had a meeting. At no point during that meeting, and I'm asking her questions, basically. Did I say to you, you could only have 5 minutes? No. Did we mutually bring that meeting to an end? Yes. So what are you talking about? And then she accepted that actually this whole thing of me giving her 5 minutes was a load of nonsense. And this is how the meeting went on. We had an hour meeting, which lasted 2 hours, because there was absolutely no way that we were going to leave that room without any of her so-called accusations being addressed. Another one was that I wasn't involving her in his management. I wasn't respecting her as his manager. By the end of the discussion, was on midway through the meeting, she accepted that every single attempt to make sure we were joined up on his role, his management, how he's being trained, was made by me to her. In fact, she'd never, ever actually approached me to discuss anything about his management. And this went on. And some of it was, you know, I can't even relate to you how much of, you know, I had to control myself in that meeting, but just realized actually this person is actually even more insecure than I had realized, because there was another point where she said, I shooed her away from my desk. She can't talk to me. Every time I come up to her, I tell her to go away. And then we established that none of the above has ever happened. Why would you think that I told you to shoo away from my desk? And she's giving hand gestures and all kinds of things. So it's not just, the words that were ridiculous. And then during the meeting, I said to her, can I just ask you to think about the language that you're actually using? Because several times during this meeting, we've established that actually some of the things that you're claiming I've said to you actually never, ever happened. And again, we got to a point where she accepted that I'd never shooed her away from my desk. I'd never told her to go away. And in fact, she said a couple of times, she'd come to my desk, I told her I was going into a meeting or that I was just preparing for a meeting. I said, yeah, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing. It's just that I didn't feel that you offered me another chance, but I didn't shoot you away. And I didn't tell you I don't want to speak to you. No. It was absolutely incredible. By the end of that meeting, I think my race soldier manager felt pretty stupid, because the whole agenda was to cause conflict and use another non-white person against me with a list of spurious accusations that I've told him already without foundation. I couldn't have planned that meeting better if I tried. It was that ridiculous by the end of it. And there were a number of other things that actually got said. And also things that came out of that discussion, which demonstrated their bias against me and other discussions that were going on. So I started questioning them on things that came out that obviously they didn't mean for it to come out. So my manager was trying to keep bring that meeting to an end very quickly. And as I said, they had an hour. We had an hour. It lasted 2 hours. I made sure I got as many things as I could out of that meeting. And needless to say.
Oh, sorry about that. Got disconnected right as Stacy was concluding her sharing. I'm adding her back to my line presently. Let's see. All right, can you hear us, Stacy?
Hi, Gus.
Oh, okay. We are reconnected. It was our fault. We got dropped from the broadcast line, but we are back reconnected. I think the point that we lost you, I think you had said that your manager, when you were asking questions and revealing how you were the one that was being mistreated, your manager tried to bring the meeting to an end quickly, and I think that's where we got disconnected.
Yeah. So essentially, as I was saying, it's an hour. It was 2 hours because we were going to go through everything. And they've revealed other things that they were doing, which is totally inappropriate. The way it was ended in terms of me and this non-white female, she did apologize for presenting the whole matter as more serious than she had intended. I said to her during the meeting, you don't need to apologize to me. An accusation was made to you. You were trying to be a good manager. You dealt with it. You don't need to apologize to me. And put it this way, the racist agenda was thwarted. I am not in conflict with another non-white female. I've spent the last week being quite challenged in terms, my emotions go up and down. I mean, I thought at the end of the meeting, it was hilarious. In my head, I was, pure laughter, but I kept it serious. But, even though I'm not going to do what they want me to do, I'm actually really disappointed with her in the sense that even in my most confused days, nobody could use me in that way. I do think she has her own issues. She's got, she feels slightly intimidated. And I think they've manipulated her for her to have presented all of that to me. And she actually just looked pretty silly by the end of the meeting. It also made me realize how insecure she actually is. I don't actually think she has any real malice. I just think she was just completely manipulated because some of the things she was concerned about, my head of team, who I know had a pre-meeting with her, could have actually addressed those matters, but she deliberately didn't and wanted this meeting to go ahead. So my emotions go up and down, but what I'm not going to do is do what they want me to do and get into conflict with her. And I'm still going to be addressing the underlying accusations and the way that I've been treated in due course. I'll stop there, Gus.
Wowee. So many similarities to some of the things that we've heard here in the States, particularly where they put a black person and they give you that title, say you're the manager or supervisor or whatever it is, whatever language they use across the pond. And it still ends up being about the same. The black supervisor, your primary job is going to be for us to find ways to use you to abuse and mistreat other black non-white employees. That tends to be what you can expect from that position. I thought that is phenomenal counter-racism. Anytime when you see that sort of thing happening, you recognize that that's how racists are practicing white supremacy. And you say, well, I'm still going to pursue justice and to make sure that I'm not being mistreated. And I'm going to make sure that this does not dissolve into me being in conflict with another non-white person. Like, that is phenomenal, because that is going to be the challenge that many of us are presented with. And a lot of times you can do the same thing where you're just asking questions, particularly if an accusation has been made. We're just asking questions and trying to find out what is true. And it sounds like that's exactly what you did. And that took things exactly where it needed to go. Just asking questions and just trying to ascertain what is true. What happened? Is this true? If there's an accusation, is this true? And that's where you just want to slow the conversation down. I shooed you away. Exactly what you did. That's A+. I shooed you away. Okay. when did I shoo you away? Is that what I said? What did I say when I shooed you? Just walk us through it. And it sounds like just doing that, it found out that there were a lot of unfounded accusations against you, which I might even, you know, want to make note of that as well, that we had, you know, it went from there being one unfounded accusation to now there being five unfounded accusations against me, that sort of thing. You know, you can keep a file on that too, but outstanding counter-racist effort. And you can see the white people manipulating all of this. When the truth starts to come out, then they want to shut the meeting down. Like, whoa, look at the time. This is only supposed to be an hour. We've been here for 2 hours. Let's just go ahead and call this a mistake and we'll all do better. We're going to do drinks at 5, right? See, they'll just try to move away from something else. But that's exactly what you want to do. And Mr. Fuller has talked about that a lot in saying, don't let it go fast. A lot of times where you said your emotions, because sometimes it just gets frustrating. People just are accusing you of things and lying. Even if it's another non-white person and they're being used, they can still just get very frustrated. You can get very upset in dealing with all this. Just being able to manage those emotions, recognize that this is what it is, that they want you to get upset because they know for many people we do not think logically. We make errors sometimes when we are upset and emotional. So just staying calm so you can ask questions. Stay calm and use counter-racist logic to solve problems. That is going to be the best thing to do for us in many, many instances. Did other folks have commentary on what they heard from Stacy, or are we moving forward?
I think it just plays into my discomfort with other victims who are being used by racists to convey their messages and to, I guess, do their dirty work, so to speak. It's very common, and I'm keenly aware of when it's going on. And I'm very against being used victims being utilized in that manner. That's some of the most deceptive activity that racists regularly do on the job. There was a question if that's what they're doing. Yes, that is what they're doing.
All the time, again. really quick, I was just going to say before we hear from Emmy, they do this all the time. They've been doing it for centuries. And again, I think racists, they are master psychologists. If people watched Get Out, you should have at least got that. Master psychologists. I think they are very aware that they have groomed us to respond that way, to get upset and frustrated with that black person and really be ready to go intensely hard against them every time that benefits the system of racism, white supremacy. Emmy, were you going to comment?
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that I know that this situation has to have been extremely taxing and stressful for you. I could hear it in your voice. And although all the way over here have nothing to do with it, I'm really sorry because it seems like it's taken a lot out of you. And I know because it's just been going on for a very, very, very long time. Like, it wasn't just like one incident that just went away. It's just been dragging. I wanted to ask you, did you manage to record any of it by any chance? Not that you want to like use it against her or anything like that. I was just curious if you did, because I think in your situation, recording would be extremely helpful. I mean, it almost sounds like the whole thing has been resolved at this point. But if not, and there are going to be like further conversations, just because for her to have derived a whole lot of fake instances, like she over-exaggerated things or like she just misconstrued a whole lot of your behaviors, I would totally feel at this point that I need to be recording a lot of my interactions with people, because it seems like everybody is just like on high alert. Whenever they're around you and just going to be like hyper extra. I don't know if that makes sense, but they're just going to be doing the most. And that was one question I had for you. And then I'm pretty sure you've been taking your notes, which sounds good. And if you haven't, then you have like a really great memory in retelling the story. And then I didn't know from the very beginning that you were talking about a non-white female. I thought she was white, to be honest, for a little while. But if she was white, I'd be saying some different things. And I do agree that, like, we're always being used, even when we're not. Like, anytime we get a title, that's just pretty much what's happening. Anytime we get paid to do something with, you know, by white people, that's pretty much happening. We're just being used. That's the beginning of this whole thing. I wanted to ask you, like, when you say that that you realize that she's very insecure, do you feel like she's an insecure, like you have to be like real vigilant about her, or like insecure, like you realize that she was just a peon? Like is she really trying to appease these white people, or she's just as confused as everybody else and is like, she's not even sure really what's going on? I was just curious about your assessment of her afterwards, because you said that she was insecure a lot of times.
Hi. Firstly, before I answer the question, I really do want to say thank you to everybody, because, yes, this has been going on for a long time. And let me make it clear, this is just one of many things that I'm dealing with in that place. And the terrorism has been going on in this team for over 3 years. So there is a bigger agenda here, and I'm just keeping it focused to one bit of the terrorist campaign. In terms of recording, I give them detailed notes. I haven't had a chance this week to write up the notes, but I intend to, because warts and all, and to be honest, she will be revealed in terms of her insecurities and her issues when I provide those notes. But, and again, this is the challenge. I can't do anything about that, because I'm not intending to make it an issue between the two of us. But the fact is, these were a number of unfounded accusations made against me. I have been made to sit and listen to somebody express their insecurities for 2 hours. Quite frankly, if there wasn't an accusation made against me by somebody else at the start of this, you know, in everyday interactions between people in organizations, whether this is about racism or anything else, people get on people's nerves. People misunderstand things all the time. I could sit every single person down in that team and tell them what I think of them and how many times they've irritated me. Is this what we do? It's just ridiculous. So I have detailed notes. I haven't had a chance to write up these notes, but they will be getting them. And also identifying all of the other things that came out during that meeting, which demonstrate their bias against me and their inappropriateness. I just haven't gone through every single accusation that was being made. I'm trying to remember all the questions that you asked me. It's in terms of this individual, the outcome of the meeting was that we are due to meet to discuss this little race soldier who made the initial accusation, discuss how he's going to be managed, and, you know, make sure that we're up to speed on, you know, his training or anything like that, again, which I have been making sure he is being supported in terms of development, even though they claimed I wasn't. And that, you know, and every time those accusations came up again, I just said, are you asking me a question? And they said, oh, yes. Oh, well, what are you doing about his training? Okay. So this is what I've been doing, you know, and just, you know, those kind of things. At the start of this is about them trying to counteract any attempt that I might make to address their blatant racism. And so, in other words, disparage my character by using this non-white female. I, you know, I told them during the meeting, especially when things were coming out that were inappropriate, I said, oh, we will be coming back to that one. My manager had said, I will be following up with that after this meeting. She made a number of attempts to say, oh, well, you see, it was just misunderstandings. And at the end of it, we should just, move on. I said, no, what we've agreed is that we will sit down and discuss his management. There are other issues that I will be addressing. Because, there is absolutely no way on the face of God's earth that I am not going to address what's been going on here. This is over three years' worth of terrorism. And this little individual is now walking around this office thinking that he's made an accusation against me and that I'm just going to accept it. Absolutely no way. And I think you asked me one more question. Oh, in terms of her insecurities, it's not the first time she's demonstrated to me that she has a few challenges. As I think I'd said a couple of weeks ago, I do believe she is in a relationship with a white male. I don't know that for definite, but I do think there are a number of things going on with her. I do think sometimes it's easier to blame black people or see black people as less than, or she was coming at things like she doesn't think I respect her and da, 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 in her role. I mean, the number of accusations, I couldn't even tell you what number we're on at the moment. She's demonstrated to me when she first joined the organization that she had a few challenges. So I keep her at arm's length, not because I dislike her, but I just realize this is what I'm dealing with. I interact with her when I need to. I keep away from her for most of the time. So she has a few challenges of her own. They completely manipulated her. I do think she is very young. I was observing her in the meeting. I just realized, actually, you're a little bit younger than I even thought. And I also think when she first joined the team, I don't think she realized that I was as old as I am, because most people don't. I probably have a daughter who's around her age, and I think it's only fairly recently that she realized that we're actually, we're not the same age. So, but I still think, it's easier to, for some people to see black people as less than what they are, regardless of how experienced we are or whatever, or have an issue with that. And so she has a number of challenges. I don't have any malice towards her, because I could see that she believed what she was talking about in that meeting. I also, one last thing I will say, I think when I know, when I told them, make that complaint official, that was not the response they were expecting in the beginning. So the mere fact that I said, okay, put up or shut up, all of a sudden, I think a few people got worried. And I've been giving them some detailed notes of every single discussion, and everyone highlights exactly how inappropriate they've been, and that's what they're trying to counteract. But hopefully I've answered all your questions.
Context of white supremacy. I guess Emmy will let us know if you missed any details. I can repeat something, a suggestion that I gave out a while back, and that was take accusations seriously. Any accusations in the workplace, take that very seriously. And I think if you get in a habit of that, I think white people seeing that, an accusation is, that does not mean that you're going to curse and, punch a hole in the wall. That means that you are going to get very quiet. You're going to pull out the policy and procedure manual. You're going to take out your notes, a pen and a pad, and you're going to have notes and or a folder. And you're just going to begin to document what was said. What is the nature of the accusation? That it's going to be time to get very serious about everything. When they see that, that right there, I think, sends a strong message to racists on the job in terms of them messing with you and just how seriously you're going to take things. And that this is not going to be something where you're led with your emotions and how you address this problem. Other folks, much obliged for the details. We'll be grand to hear all that updated as this continues. Did other folks have commentary for workplace racism? We're getting to the last hour of the broadcast. The number again, 641 715-3600 or 0, the code 564-943 pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. Again, this is not the spectator broadcast. Some of the folks who wrote in, make sure I get in all the emails, number one, where the second one. I listen to this program religiously and find it to be very interesting. However, a growing number of jobs are becoming at-will employment. This means you can be fired with or without cause. In such an environment, becoming an annoyance to your employer, i.e. asking too many questions, taking notes, etc., can get you fired. The solution is quote-unquote political activism to reduce and or eliminate at-will jobs and to strengthen unions and collective action. Some of that I'm not sure in terms of the details when we say collective action in terms of what that means. I think in a lot of states they already have quote-unquote what they call at-will employment, or I think in some states they call this, or some jurisdictions they call this right to work, where it's the same thing where white people, they can just fire you anytime they want to with or without cause. I think many of the laws are weighted in that direction. I've concluded things are going to be this way. The solution is to replace white supremacy with justice, that there can be all sorts of political activism and you can have all sorts of collective action and quote unions can be as strong as they want to. As long as the system of white supremacy exists, these problems are still going to exist for black people at work, period, even if they are self-employed. Did other folks have commentary that they wanted to share?
Can I be heard?
Hang on 1 second, Mr. Steele. Other folks have commentary that they wanted to share?
Hey, Gus, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
I had two other things I wanted to get your view on. Earlier this week, I have two black females. One of the black females is assistant supervisor, and she came up to me and she said she wanted to get my feedback on something, so she wanted to ask me some questions, and it was after my lunch break, so I went in there and she asked me, how do I feel about, help a customer or something like that? Because try to ask if I need assistance with something because, I'm still learning the different aspects of how to help customers look for certain things, because for the most part, they'll come in to get copies of certain documents, and I'll pretty much get that dealt with. But, she was asking me how do I feel if someone's asking if I need help with something? And I said it didn't really bother me because she said she'll do that herself, but she seemed like another person, helping me, she seen it as like her budgeting answer a question a customer had, and she was saying that she did that as well, and she was asking did I feel like I don't know how to do my job or something, and I answered by saying I just felt as though it was everybody pretty much helping me out. I didn't really feel like they were, didn't think that I could do my job or whatever. So that was pretty much the first question she asked me. And the second one she asked was, did I feel that it was tension? She used the term tension. She said, did I feel like it was any tension in the area? So I said, yeah, I noticed that as tension. She didn't say where it was coming from. But those are the two questions she asked me, and that was the first thing I wanted to mention. And the quick second thing was the new, like I
forgot what, I guess you're like a civil court director or whatever. And every time we have a monthly meeting, like on the beginning of the month, she's giving out this award called the Old Book Award. And it's these giant dictionaries, apparently, from the, I guess, 1950s or whatever, 60s. And the first two recipients of this Old Book Award have been Black people. And I found it interesting because when we were, cleaning out the area, that same office area we have the meetings, she asked me if I wanted to take one of these same books home and, you know, I guess they're just throwing stuff out to the trash or whatever. So I think these are some of the same books. So, you know, I wanted to get your view on that. Like what do you think could be going on with that? Like, I suspect that could be possibly some racism going on there. So I wanted to get your view on that or anybody's view on it.
With the first situation, was this just like an out-of-the-blue check-in to come and ask you these two questions where the Black female, you know, asks if there's any tension or if you, you know, feel like you don't know how to do your job because people are, I guess, sharing other information when customers have questions? Was this an out-of-the-blue thing or was this is supposed to happen? She's supposed to come in and ask these type of questions?
Well, I think it was because, like, since she's, I guess, has the highest rank, I guess, in that area where we're at. So I guess she's been trying to, help me out and learning different things when I'm dealing with customers. And she'll just ask, you know, do I need any help with anything? So sometimes I'll say yes, and then there are other times I'll say no. But, you know, she, I guess, brought that up, and she's seen a white coworker pretty much doing, it might not have been in the same way, but she'll just be jumping in the conversation, like it'll be in a different context to say, you know, well, you can do such and such and such, and it'll be things that I don't really know about. So I'll ask pretty much all of them, like all three of the females, because, you know, they're more informed than I am. It's two Black females, one white female. And, you know, I'll usually ask all three of them stuff at times. So that's pretty much how I answer that question, because I'm still pretty much training and learning a lot of the other different things. So that pretty much was the context of it.
I see. Thank you for the information. I guess with that, you know, if... you feel like she was just asking to make sure you were comfortable and didn't feel like, you know, you were being undermined or people were trying to suggest you didn't know what you were doing. If they're asking, or if she directly or anyone else is asking for tips, or if you know this, just making sure as you continue to learn the tension thing. I don't know. That's I don't know. I can't think of too many work situations where someone asks and use that word specifically, like is there tension in the workplace? Like that almost seems like something specifically might have motivated her to ask that. Or I don't know. That's my perception. You're more informed of it than I am. Do you have any speculation as to why she would ask you if there was any tension in the workplace?
I think it might have came from the Black female. She was. Like I had mentioned it maybe if not last week, like 2 weeks ago, she, I guess, has been, talked to, I guess, about something that she was doing. I'm not sure what it all was, but I know she was pretty much crying a whole lot, and she took the later half of last week off, and, you know, I guess she was talking about it, and they kept using the term fair. As far as how, you know, they're being treated, I guess, in comparison to how a white person is being treated. So I guess you might have noticed that it's some tension between two of the ladies there, Black female, white female, or white woman. And I think that's what she may be referring to, because she didn't specify where the tension was coming from. I don't think she thought it came from me, or maybe she did, but I think she might have been talking about the other people in the area. So I had to answer yes. I answered yes to that question about, you know, I do sense tension. And not only in that, like, our department, but just in the whole building, really.
I do remember some of the details from you discussing that previously. Yeah, with that, having that in mind now, yeah, I mean, that there probably is some talk with all that going on and some investigation. That's my general sense, that whites, they try to at least give that veneer of doing the correct thing. And we're gonna take this seriously, and we're going to have an investigation and talk to everyone and all of that. So that's probably is what spurred all this. That, you know, I mean, if you answered, you told the truth, you answered their questions, no problem there. I guess you can just observe and see how that unfolds, if they have a follow-up or a change in policy or what have you based on those accusations and then them going around and talking to everybody. What was the other situation, the second one?
Yes, sir. It was
Oh, the book, the old book, giving out the old book award, and you said black people had been the only people to get this so far?
It's been only two of them given out so far, and there's two black people.
Yeah, white people, I mean, and I mean, you've talked about on with this work environment, I think, where white people have been real cronyish about things, where a white person was going to leave, and then they timed it so that, like, their son or other relative could get their job, and it would only be a limited window. So, you know, just kind of hold it, withholding information so that they can pass things within the family line, jobs within the family line. White people do so much talking amongst themselves that they could have a whole, you know, code out about why they're doing this. And this could be their own little private joke in terms of what this is about with the old book thing. Just nothing would surprise me. Anything that, you know, seems like, oh, this is, you know, white people trying to show some sort of appreciation for you on the job, unless it's, you know, a raise, a bonus, an extra week of paid vacation, unless it's something like that. If it's just going to be some tacky, you know, little ornament that I'm supposed to put on my office or take home or what have you, I mean, come on, get out. Come on. I would just assume that this is just more white tackiness and leave it at that. And the same thing, you said they offered you some books or something that they were disposing of or whatever the case. They asked if you wanted some. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I believe it was pretty, if I could safely assume, I believe that they were trying to, the same female or woman, she was offering me that same book. I think it was the same one. It was a giant dictionary, and it was very old.
Yeah, I mean, just I do like older dictionaries. So, I mean, if you are interested in having, you know, one just to check out or what have you. But it's been my experience that a lot of times that's just more tackiness. White people looking to give black people something that's old and worthless that they're looking to get rid of, as opposed to, again, you know, can I get a couple extra days of vacation? You know, can I get, you know, a 25% increase on my salary? You know, that sort of thing. Can I get, you know, can I keep the same pay and get, you know, a 15% reduction in the number of hours I have to work per week? That would be, hey, now we're getting somewhere. You can have this, you know, moldy book from 50 years ago that we just dug out of the attic. Do you want to take that? I mean, come on. That's about what I can expect from white coworkers. That would be my assessment, unless other folks have anything they would add in on those two. Those would be my thoughts. Other folks have commentary they wanted to get in last segment of the program. Other folks have either commentary, questions. I had one more email I wanted to get in as well. Other folks have commentary? doing their spectating, I'm sure, for all the folks listening in. If you are doing that great at work, that is wonderful. I'm so happy for you. I hope it continues for the rest of your career. You move right up on the ladder, get that huge office, big desk, and then you can also invest in the cows and any other counter-racist work that you think is constructive. You can hit the cows, racism-notes.blogspot.com, racism-notes.blogspot.com. PayPal button is in the top right corner. If you're not into PayPal, drop us an email. We will get you a physical mailing address. Huge thanks to all the folks who have supported us 8+ years. And definitely for the folks who are spectating, if you're not having problems in the workplace, absolutely share a few coins. The cows, other folks who are doing constructive counter-racist work. One of the other folks who emailed in, they wrote, was dropping off a customer package to ship out today in our send room and finally walked up to see these photos posted on the outside of the merchandising team's door that have been posted since Halloween. This is part of the merchandising team. I don't know them personally, nor do I talk to them unless they need something from me to display. I noticed it was all Halloween theme, but the black guy, Larry, is a color theme, chocolate bar outfit, and in a skirt. All the other non-black men are in man outfits. These have been on display on the job since 2016 until present. Symbolic, acceptable images of a job. I don't plan on sharing online, but if you would like to include any with the radio program, posts, etc., feel free. So I can post some of the images if folks want to check them. If folks want to check them out, and it's a lot of just white tackiness. It looks like most of these costumes are white people. I don't see anybody who, you know, to me would be classified as non-white in these different outfits. But they have what looks like a white male in blackface with a skirt on and some other guard, looks like a gold chain or what have you. And his name is Godiva. So this is apparently one of the race soldiers that works there. And he's dressed up as Godiva, which is the name of a chocolate, very expensive chocolate. One of the premier chocolates, as I understand it. I think that might be a major Dr. Welsing moment. And they have other images as well. If folks want to check these out, I guess I could share so you could get a close-up image. But, yeah, this having this sort of thing in the workplace, that's why I just would want to get a reputation. I've been saying that for years, getting a reputation that you don't participate in this sort of thing, that you're just not joking into this. If anything, I would just take a picture for your records that this sort of thing is condoned, acceptable in the workplace, and keep it moving. Other folks... commentary they wanted to share, and this is incidentally, this is the same, this is from the same black male who shared about the workplace situation where they accused him of violating policy because he went to retrieve items that were not in the inventory, and it turns out that they were there, and they told him that that was wrong, and he was messing up, and he was breaking the rules, and all that. This is the same employee, same work environment. Did other folks have commentary they wanted to share? And they're spectating still. Mr. Steele, did you want to get your other observation in?
Yeah, I wanted to say that right to work does not mean the right to do whatever they want. You know, employers are still bound by rules that an Equal Employment Opportunity Act stipulations that prevent you from being fired because of your gender, because of your age, because of your race, because of your country of origin, and I believe religion may be thrown in there as well. I don't know about religion, but the way you deal with a right to work situation, I've spoken with some employment attorneys about this, is that you create a preponderance of evidence to support any claims that they may have violated some of these basic stipulations that are outlined in the Equal Employment Opportunity Act. So if you think that you are being treated differently and you're being subsequently terminated because of your race, you need evidence to support that claim for a lawyer to be able to act on this. Take notes. Take very detailed notes about what's going on. Emails. Get your, be comfortable asking your managers to email you their instructions, to email you their critiques, to email you any sort of accusations. And all of this can be used against them when the time is right, especially if you have a lot of evidence, especially if you've been doing your job on your job and collecting evidence against these monsters. Anyway, I'm just going to say, do not let the words right to work convince you that these people have the right to do whatever they want, because they do not.
Well said. Be informed about your workplace situation. That's one of the best things that you can do to defend yourself on the job. Know your policy and procedure. Know as many rules and regulations for your geographic location as you can. That will also be extremely helpful in your workplace situation. Did other folks have commentary that they wanted to get in? Any questions, observations, suggestions that they wanted to share?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's kind of, I'm not going to go off track. It kind of pertains to workplace racism, but I was actually at work. I have a Kindle that I use, and I remember one of the comments that you had made last week. I don't think it was on workplace racism, but it was a reference to at one point, Ebony Magazine had a lot more constructive content. And I just Googled something, and it was amazing that I found Dr. Welsing had wrote, I think it was, she wrote two or three articles that were published in Ebony Magazine. And I just mentioned that because it was just amazing to even see that. It was about two pages, and she was speaking, specifically about white supremacy. I think it was in late 60s, maybe. And it's just amazing to put that in context and now to see the quote-unquote controversy that some of the former employees that were writing for Ebony, you know, that they're not getting paid, but just the importance of, you know, journalism and the fact that, you know, Dr. Welsing actually used to write for Ebony, and now that publication no longer, you know, has articles that are that explicit about racism, white supremacy, and the importance of having, you know, people in the workplace that are going to write honestly about workplace racism and just about racism in general. But I just found that that was great. And I was reading that at work, and it was good that Gus had shared that with us and had me do a little research. So I just wanted to share that. I thought it was important.
Right on. I almost included something on that for workplace racism this very week. Because that continues to be the case. And for me, writing for Atlanta Black Star, I do. That is my workplace racism, and writing about racism. I state that every time that I post any articles that I write, I state that it is very, very challenging being a black person and trying to write about white supremacy racism. It is super difficult for a variety of reasons, and has been for years and years and years and years. Even Desmond Cole, I think this will be played this coming weekend, a black journalist in Canada, has done a lot talking about white supremacy racism. He was talking about why he resigned from the Toronto Star, one of the major newspapers. I think that might be the main newspaper in Toronto. He resigned because they admonished him for his activist work dealing with racism, dealing specifically with issues addressing how the racist activity of police in Toronto. And he said they admonished him for his conduct, for his activist work. And same type of thing. They couldn't tell him where it was in the policy and procedure. And he didn't even know that this was an issue. So he just resigned. And he said, you know, he felt like he was being policed for his activist work, specifically dealing with racism. And he even included more information where he said he had been told in his career specifically that he wrote too much about racism and that they cut his column back from twice a week to once a week. And all of this is workplace racism. This is his job. He's a journalist. All of that, that impacts, you know, your portfolio. You don't get to write as much. You're not accumulating as much content. You don't make as much money. All of that, and it being directly tied to racism. So I would just say specifically with that, anybody, if your job entails you talking about racism and you are a black person, I would just try to be very clear, very honest with yourself. Begin with that. Be very honest with yourself about why you are doing this. Are you doing this to make money? Are you doing this because you want to have a career? Are you doing this because you're trying to use this as a means to replace white supremacy with justice? Just be very clear with why you're doing it. And it seemed, at least in the case with Mr. Cole, his reason for doing this was to try to use this as a means to replace white supremacy with justice. And if they were not going to allow him to do that effectively, I'll resign and just find another way to do it. Seems like that just seems logical to me. His thought process, if it had been something else, you know, if he was doing it for the coins, then you just stay there and talk about something else. That's not what he decided. So that would be my suggestion. If your job, if what you do to earn coins is directly dealing with racism, white supremacy, and that is becoming a problem, a source of conflict, just be very honest, very clear with yourself why you are doing this, and that'll help you make decisions. Right on. Did other folks have commentary? Did we hear Stacy still hanging in with us? I think it's after 3 a.m. Friday morning UK time. Did you have commentary?
Yeah. Hi, guys. It's 3:17 in the morning. I just realized there was one more thing, a comment that Emily made. So I just wanted to clarify just on a point about she thought initially that it was a white female that had brought the accusations to me. I've had 4 managers raise this initial accusation with me at some point. 3 of them are white females, including the head of my team. The initial accusation was brought to me by the Little Race Soldiers manager, who is the non-white female. And as I said, they've managed to flip the situation so that it appears to be conflict between the two of us. So I just wanted to clarify that point. The other thing I just wanted to raise, and it stems from something that was discussed on last week's program. There was a caller who had said that she was being blocked for a job that she'd applied for internally and then in another store. In the, I guess, under the same company, but in a different part of the state or something. And we had discussed it. I just wanted to just share something or how I dealt with applying for internal jobs in my last role, where I knew there was the potential for me getting blocked. As I've mentioned last week, I did have a similar situation where I was on a temporary contract and it had been extended a few times. My then manager, I knew she didn't want to extend my contract, or she'd been playing games with me anyway. And she had said to me, you know, in an alleged supportive way, you know, if you do want to apply for anything, do let me know. Which I knew, even though it wasn't presented in that way, I knew she'd try and block it anyway. I'd applied for, I'd been interviewed, it's a 2-stage interview process, and she tried to undermine me by giving negative feedback in the interim. But what I'd done, because I was trying to make sure that she didn't know I was applying for jobs, most of the interviews are internal, or, you know, in the same building. So I knew I had an interview coming up. I do a lot of external meetings with different organisations. And obviously, when you're going for interview, you have to dress a bit more smarter than usual. So what I did leading up to the date of my interview, I just changed the way I dressed. So I started to dress more smart. And I remember her commenting on my, you know, my attire. I said, oh, no, you know, we've just got meetings coming up. So I just thought I'd dress extra smart because there's a lot of more senior people in the room. You know, just sort of brushed it off. And so why I did that is because on the day of my actual interview, then I just wouldn't look at it, wouldn't look out of the ordinary that I was actually dressed as if I was going for an interview. I mean, that didn't stop her from trying to block me, but I just thought I'd share that because I think sometimes we just have to apply lots of different tactics so that, you know, she didn't stop her from trying to block me, but when I, at least I was able to go to my first interview, do the interview, and because my interview was strong enough and I was able to address all the attempts that she subsequently tried to make, trying to block me from getting that job, I was appointed in that role. But I just wanted to share that. Hopefully it's useful to somebody else as just a way of trying to navigate the terrorism that we face.
Hear, hear. Expect all sorts of blockage from racist woman, racist man, racist child. Absolutely. That doesn't mean, you know, be ambitious, be extremely ambitious, and try to get everything that's of constructive value that you can, money, positions, all of that. But just expect massive resistance along the way.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Stacy, the one question I wanted to that I asked, but I don't think I asked a bunch, so it got confused. Did you record anything? And if you haven't recorded anything in the past, you think that you might, I think yours would be a great situation where you could try one of those like hidden recording devices we keep talking about and just to see what happens.
My response is I'm a codified soldier. I have no concerns in this matter. Anything I say, I can prove. I hope that answered your question.
Word. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Indeed. Fantastic. Gus, can I say something really quick about something else?
I reckon.
Thank you. So I've been practicing lying to white people. I admit that part of my conditioning, I don't know if it's just been not to, to be very honest, to be very trusting, to be very upfront, and, you know, kind of really do-gooder. And so when I began to practice my codification, it was a little bit more difficult. But I just wanted to say that I keep practicing it, and it gets easier. And I see for myself. Now, VGQ for me, this might not be in Mr. Fuller's book, and this might go against everybody else's code. But lying to white people is working very well for me. I'm not a career woman. I'm not a professional quite yet. Like, I'm not in a job that I plan to be in very, very long. So I feel that I have a lot of flexibility to practice my codification. That way, when I finally do become or begin to work in something where that I'll be in for the rest of my life, hopefully, that I'll probably be different. But at least I will have had some practice. So I kind of just look at this as like my practice field. And so, for instance, I work as a concierge overnight in a residential building in the DMV area, the very posh area. So the white people there are so annoying. Yuppie, just hipster, entitled, just annoying white people. And I have the unfortunate pleasure of dealing with them when they're drunk, because I work on the weekends. So they're drunk, but they leave drunk and they come in drunk. So anyway, we have a television. So I'll turn, most times I turn it off because it'll annoy me, but I've been a little lax because, you know, anyway, and I wanted to watch a movie that was coming on. But it was on the Spanish channel. Eat Man was on the Spanish channel. So I had the TV there. I'm watching it, and I make it a point to, one of the first things I started practicing when codification was not moving out of the way and not being like too nice. Then I moved on to always making like very intense eye contact, like I'm not backing down, in terms of like looking down and looking away and to like ignoring, like active ignoring, like I'm very aware of all that they're doing. I'm just not giving them my attention, to not flat out lying. So when they come in, I don't like look up, you know, if you could get in the building, that means that you're supposed to be in the building. There's no way for you to get in the building if you don't live here. So I don't have to panic every time the door opens about who's coming in here. So whatever, I know someone just came in. I don't have to look up and be like, hi, you know, how should not, none of that stuff is going on. So you just go ahead and walk to the elevator, go unless you really need me to do something like retrieve a package or you need some type of help or something like that. So they have to walk in my eyesight while I'm watching the TV. It's like I'm here at the desk. There's a walkway for them to get to the elevator and then the TV up against the wall. So, you know, if I feel like it, I'll make eye contact. But sometimes I practice looking straight through them and staying on the television because they are so accustomed to having my attention. That's how I feel. And I don't like it. My attention for me is very precious. And I feel like giving it to who I want to give it to when I feel like giving it to them and I don't feel like giving it to them. So I don't. If you don't need me, there's no point in me looking at you. I don't want to have that weird, awkward moment. We're looking at each other and you expect me to speak, but I'm not. So now I got to do all this. So just keep it moving. Act like you're not even there. Well, there's this white male who never takes his key. And he just leaves his apartment door open. And he just always gets the person at the front desk to let him up on the elevator. And I feel like he does this so he can feel special. And I just think it doesn't even matter what I think. I'll let you all know that's what he does. So he comes in, I have to let him in, and he begins to pressure me about what I'm watching because it's in Spanish, and obviously he's never seen Ip Man, otherwise he would recognize Ip Man, which I love this movie. It's just a great piece of cinematic art. So anyway, so I don't answer him. Like, I actually just ignore him, and he's like, what is this? I ignore him. What is this? I ignore him. Are you watching this? I ignore him. And then I just lie. I don't know. It's just on. And it just was so natural to lie that I just wanted to report that I'm getting better. Like, because I don't have to tell you. I could have told him. Then he would have asked me why I was in Spanish. Now, next thing you know, we're talking. He's asking me my name, what I'm doing, why I'm watching this in Spanish. You don't need to know any of that. I'm going to lie to you. Stop. I'm going to ignore you until I can't ignore you. And then I'm going to lie to you, especially because none of this is relevant. You know, I don't want to. And I feel like I can do that. And it's not anything I can get fired for. No one, you know, you can report to property management. Oh, she's watching whatever, whatever. But I can do that because I work the overnight. So moving on. And then when I told him, I was like, yeah, it's just on, which is a lie. I purposely looked for this movie to watch it. Let him up on the elevator. He was like, oh, it just looks like a silly little Asian movie. And I just looked at him. I don't know if y'all are familiar with memes, but my face was like every meme in the book. Like, did he even badger me for this information, right? I'm going to just say it's on, and then you're going to tell me because it looks like a little silly Asian movie. Any opportunity to practice their tacky racism in whatever form they want to do. But it let me know a lot of things. Number one, the level of surveillance, even if something is benign as to what I'm watching on television. So you know it has to be even cranked up if they see me on the phone or they see even another Black person in the lobby. They must think that must be, you know, my friend, my family, like whoever. Don't let that Black person be talking to me. We must be related. I must know them. You know, like that level of surveillance. It also let me know the pretentious assumption of power, that you can question me about what I'm doing that has nothing to do with you and legitimately expect an answer and then get frustrated when I don't give that answer. I enjoy the opportunities that I can bend whatever little thing that I can to watch how they're going to react. Because if I do the script, if I'm like, hey, how you doing? They're going to be like, oh, I'm great. Nice to see you. And I'm like, nice to see. And this whole thing is a script that we're playing out and I never get to really see their face. So when I do the wrong thing or the thing that they don't want me to do, then I can really see more. And I like it. And I just wanted to tell y'all about that. So he walked away frustrated. He tried to be racist and tacky. I went back to my great movie and that was that. But that's it. Thank you for listening.
Wowee. The surveillance, that is real. We are doing study session number 7 tomorrow. Coretta Scott King, My Life, My Love, My Legacy, where she said she and her husband, Dr. King, were naive about the level of surveillance that they were under. Take that seriously. Particularly in the workplace, take it very seriously that you are under surveillance by your coworkers, and if they're even white patrons or clients or what have you, you'll be under surveillance from them too. So just keep that in mind at all times. The caller at 4689. Did you have a commentary? You should be with us as well.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I called in a couple of weeks ago, but I always catch the show on the podcast, and I never actually get to call in. I wanted to call in and just kind of talk about what's been going on with my job and just what I kind of been doing to deal with it. I don't really think I've been that successful, but in ways I feel like it's been helpful. Things I've done have been helpful towards other non-white people, particularly Black people. So on my job, I went to my cousin's wedding in Pittsburgh, and I came when I got back. I wasn't gonna make it to work, so I called out. And according to my job, if you're gonna call out, you got to do it 2 hours in advance. I wasn't there. I didn't do that because the last time I called was after a snowstorm, and I was gonna be 20 minutes late. So they told me to take the day off. This is after I paid like $20 for a cab. To get to the train station to go to work. So I was like, you know what, let me try to get there first and then I'll call out. So I got suspended for 2 days. I called the office and I spoke to one of the people in the office and basically I let him know that there's a flaw in his system, that if I could possibly make it, it would be logical to try to make it before calling out or before saying I'll be late and being told to stay home. So he said, so I was suspended for 1 day instead of 2 days, like they originally said. When I got back, they started a new, they were having something they called Safety Week because I work construction. And they were saying, according to Safety Week, we have to sign off on these safety forms. What they don't do is they don't read the form to us. So it's up to the people, the workers, to read the form. Most of the guys just go in there, sign the paper, and leave. This day was about ladder safety. So according to the OSHA rule, you have to wear a harness if you're above 6 feet. I know that I mostly work on 8-foot ladders, and the sixth step, which the last step you're technically supposed to work on, according to the ladder, what the ladder says is the sixth step, it's 5'8". So I start to question the foreman about it. And it's two foremen, and they just start to go crazy and lose it on me. They just thought, you're not going to win this. And I'm like, I'm not trying to win anything. I used the tape measure, and it measured 5'8". And I was just wondering whether or not we need to wear a harness. And I think, like the caller said before, they can question you. They can tell you what to do. But when you question them, even if it's logic or something they came up with, it immediately becomes a problem, and you become disorderly, that kind of thing. And I was always telling the non-white people on my job, they're betting that you don't know your rights. You can't really be in trouble for not wearing a harness at that height or be kicked off a job. But the fact that they say you can, it just, you know, nobody is there to question it. Or not just question it, but study the rules to know. And I learned that from another non-white male who was suspended for a week. Actually, the same Monday that I got suspended, he got suspended for a week. That's been my experience. And one thing I did notice, I just wanted to add, there's a non-white male in my class, a Black male. Actually, two things. Not a Black male in my class, and he started working on the job site that I was working at. And before he started, they told him that somebody got shot in the parking lot for leaning on somebody's car. And I thought that was interesting because there is a Jamaican man, a Black male, who comes and he sells food in the morning and at lunch to the workers. And where he parks and where we eat is in the parking lot. So I guess they figured, oh, let's say that somebody was leaning on someone's car and they got shot. So they made up this whole lie about that. And another thing I've noticed is there's been a lot of non-white Hispanic males on the job making really racial comments. I mean, like, not just racial, but racist comments. And I find that it's really hard to get Black people to accept the fact that just because someone's non-white doesn't mean that they're black. And it doesn't mean that they identify with you, even though you identify with them. And that's been like, it's been a consistent thing I've noticed. These people will say they will, I've been referred to as a monkey and told that I'm going, that Trump is going to send me back to Africa and I'm going to be eating bananas and trees. I've been told just a lot of things, and these same black males continue to affiliate themselves with these Hispanic males, and I just tell them that, you know, those people are not your friends, and they don't have your best interest at heart. And, you know, on the system of white supremacy, I don't think any of us really have friends, but I think that they should be, we should be just as suspicious of them, because many of them classify themselves as white. And that's all I want to say.
For me, that's the most important thing. I, you know, make an effort to not use the term, you know, Hispanic, Latino. They might have a whole lot of other ones that they come up with, but the crucial issue, are you classified, accepted as white? Yes or no? That's the crucial statement. As you said, a lot of these individuals, it turns out that they are accepted, classified as white. You do have individuals who are racist, white supremacists, and it just happens that they speak Spanish. You have a lot of that on the planet. In terms of, I guess, black people on your job, not understanding that these individuals who could just be racists, that could be the case, or they could be non-white, non-black people who just are verbalizing their anti-blackness. That could be the case as well. I would take the same position, whether they're racist, whether they're white or not. I would take the same position that I would with racists. If they're racists on the job and black people think that they're cool, they're great, they think these white people are their buddies, United Independent. I probably wouldn't invest a whole lot of time and energy in trying to, you know, change their minds or convince them otherwise. You know, unless we were, you know, really, really close, really, really tight. And even then, I don't know how much effort I would, you know, exert in trying to get them to change their view. It's been my experience that a lot of time it can be difficult to get people to change their analysis, particularly if they're strangers. And in a work context, you know, I didn't really fill out the paperwork, the application, and go through the interview process to fraternize. I signed up to do specific duties to get a few nickels. Like any fraternizing that happens in that context is, you know, just extracurricular. You know, that's, you know, we try to minimize that. So I'm not going to do a whole, that's just me. And I'm kind of a curmudgeon anyway. I think some other people, they might invest more time and energy trying to reach out to those black people and, you know, let them know that they might want to reconsider who they're hanging out with. But, you know, I just, like I said, I don't know how much I would encourage investment in that. In terms of the rest of your situation, in terms of things that were happening there, just being informed, you know, and I think that's one of the things we've been saying the whole time. That's a critical aspect of counter-racism, is keeping control of your emotions. You said when the guys go, you're not going to win this, you know, what are you doing here? Just go, that sort of thing. When they start yelling and trying to get riled up, just be calm. Just be calm. Think. And I've said, too, if you need time to think, like, I'll have to think, you know, if a question's been asked, I'll have to think about that. If you can give me some time to get back to you, I'll have to think about that. That should be allowed in most circumstances. So just, if you need to take time, to think about what you want to do or how you want to respond on the job. But just being informed. I think you said that one of your, or I don't know, a person on the job recommended some good information to just being informed about what the rules and regulations are, and then asking questions and asserting that, hey, these are what the rules and regulations are. That's what I'm abiding by, unless something has changed. Has something changed? You know, and just doing that can be extremely helpful in any workplace situation. So be knowledgeable. That's why I say know the policy and procedure for wherever you happen to work at. Did other folks have commentary that they wanted to share? We miss anybody? Anybody have additional commentary they wanted to make sure they got in? Everyone satisfied? You got everybody? I hope this is a sign that people are having phenomenal workplace experiences. No difficulties. Nobody's having any conflict with other victims of racism. And racists are at least behaving themselves for a few days. I guess maybe the spring has got everyone in pleasant spirits maybe for a little bit. Be prepared. It's not going to last. We will be here tomorrow, as I stated, study session number 7, the late Coretta Scott King, My Life, My Love, My Legacy, as told to Reverend Dr. Barbara Reynolds. We're picking up on chapter 18. Has been great reading. Looking forward. We are beyond the halfway point, so we're getting to home stretch of the book. Tune in if you've been following. We'll be here on Saturday for the compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And we will be making up. Pam was supposed to be with us yesterday. She had the audacity to schedule a doctor's appointment for yesterday. The nerve. So we rescheduled. She'll be with us next Wednesday, same time. 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific. Will be great to have her back with us first time for the 2017 calendar year. If you have guest suggestions, if you have commentary, if you have something for workplace racism, drop an email. If you can't find something in the archives, untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. I will make an effort to get back promptly. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Always look forward to workplace racism on Thursdays. I hope folks get constructive information that the segment is worthy of your time and energy. Last check-in, anything folks want to share before we sign out? Thanks to all the folks for listening in. Stacy in the UK, Emmy, retired firefighter, Mr. Steele, all the other folks, female caller in Ohio, all the other folks who dialed in. Folks have anything else they need to get in before we conclude?
Gus, can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
A couple of programs ago, there was someone, I can't remember if she wrote in, I think she might have, about the child in the nursery who was being terrorized by a little white child, and you know, that whole situation where he was under distress. I was just wondering if you'd heard anything more about that.
I remember the situation that you were talking about, but I have not heard anything more. I think I don't know if the caller who shared all that information, if she's listening now, or if she would be down to give us an update on where things stand at this point. But I remember the details. It was, I think it was, she had some little race soldier child. He was like 7 or something. He was terrorizing the black children in the school and threatening, like, I think it was like lethal violence, like, I'll kill you. And he was saying things like that and drawing pictures and things. And she was just sharing how she had reported this. She took pictures and they were trying to develop a plan to protect the black child that was being terrorized and all that, what to do. Yeah, I would like to get an update if she's listening in. I guess that was workplace racism, because she worked there. That's how we were getting all this. So if you want to give us an update, that would be great. If you want to write it in, I would be happy to read. If you want to save it, and either we could do it this weekend at the compensatory call-in, or we could do it next Thursday for workplace racism. But yeah, I would appreciate an update on that as well. They are not ignorant. They're not ignorant. Racist man, racist woman, racist child. Good memory, Stacy in the UK.
I did have one question, just referring back to the segment. Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
In the segment, I think it was the two black females, when they were talking about just the different categories of people who they were trying to help, they mentioned women, and then they mentioned like people of color or minorities. And I've heard that before, and especially like with white women. I was watching some, I think it might have been like C-SPAN or something like that. And it was a white, I think it was a white woman astronaut. And she also said women. And then she also said people of color as if they're not, I guess, you know, non-white females. Or in her terms, I guess, non-white women. I was just wondering, I was just kind of confused about that. That's all I've had.
I've said for years, the only thing I can conclude when they say that is that they mean white women and then non-white people or people of color or however they phrase it. And I never hear it stated that way, but that's the only thing that I can conclude that would make sense. Because surely when you say non-white people or people of color or however they phrase it, surely you are not suggesting that everybody that you're only talking about males when you say people of color. I don't think anybody would say that. So the females presumably would all be included. It would just be the males, females, all of that would be included when you say people of color or non-white people. I can only conclude that they mean white women, but they don't want to say that because that, I think, would call too much attention to, you know, is that an adequate comparison? Like, are we saying white women are in some way treated like victims of white supremacy?
All right, thank you. That's what I was kind of thinking as well. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about that even in the context of workplace racism. I think in 2014, Jill Abram, that's the white woman, she was the former editor of the New York Times, and they had lots and lots and lots of conversations about workplace racism and exactly what she's women and people of color in the workplace. They had tons of those conversations at that time, and you never heard it stated white women. It was the exact same thing, women and people of color, every time. And I was saying the same thing in 2014 that I say now. Did anybody else have commentary? Workplace racism? Anything else? I have actually an assignment. I'm going to carve out the last 5 minutes here and see if I can get some help with my assignment to talk about everyone's, second favorite area of activity, television. Did anybody have anything else, workplace racism, before I steal 5 minutes for my own work-related activities? I assume folks are satisfied. I don't think I missed anybody on the switchboard. My own work-related activities, I have an essay on a short deadline, right, 12 hours, where I'm supposed to be talking about how basically this, tsunami of television programs and movies about racism. Get Out, people are still buzzing. Dear White People was a film. Now it's a television series that I have not seen. Blackish, they've had multiple episodes where they've talked explicitly about racism in a variety of forms. W. Kamau Bell, Cowbell, who has been a guest on The Context of White Supremacy. He has a brand new television show on CNN. And Charles Barkley also has a brand new television program. I think that's a Cowbell, too, where they are both explicitly talking about racism, even though I think they use the term race. It's just, and then you just had all these documentaries about the LA riots. Roots was just rebooted. Lots and lots and lots and lots of TV programs talking about racism, where they claim that this is helpful, right? That this helps people be more informed about what racism is, how it works, that this is a problem. I'm submitting that this is part of a long legacy of, you know, just making black suffering entertainment, that white people are not ignorant about any of this content, that this is just, you know, let's get our popcorn and watch the niggers suffer type thing. And that, you know, for a lot of non-white people, the content is confusing anyway. Any commentary that you would add on that subject matter? Any shows that you think should be included or analysis? Even any archived content from the program that you think would be great to include?
I would just include that, you know, just theater, 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 because all of the proponents on what makes things popular, non-white people suffer from it. Sexual violation, political violation, a physical violation, verbal, you know, it has all the proponents to draw the attention of viewers. The system of race or white supremacy, in this particular, People Activity Entertainment can make billions of dollars off of that. And, they're going to get, viewers, white and non-white, to view these things. And it's like taking care of two situations, at once, because with the non-white viewers, what it does, I would say, in my opinion, it makes them lazy to focus on the problem in reality. In other words, I don't have to go about the means of applying some sort of codified system of what I'm saying and what I'm doing. I just sit there and watch TV for a couple of hours, and just, you know, get my popcorn and be entertained by it, and with white people, just pure fun. In my understanding, it'd be just pure fun and exciting to do so. And maybe when I meet that black person on a job, I may ask them about it, you know, something like that, you know. And but the real problem with racism, white supremacy, does not get attention. That's what I think about it.
Anybody else? Commentary. Second favorite area of People Activity, in my estimation.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I feel like you're probably already going to include it anyway, but I think if you can make a comparison or bridge the two between the the news images of black people so-called rioting or black people being shot by the police or just black suffering in general, where it's like they'll find a black mother and like she's crying all on television or any of those kinds of things, so that it's not just that it's like entertaining in the sense of, because I don't watch any television, so I won't be able to tell you any shows or anything, but from the I've heard of some of these shows, those seem more like comedy or seem like they're actors. And so then one person could say, well, that's just entertainment, like it, because it's supposed to be entertaining. But if you link it to the so-called news, which is supposed to be informative, still as the observer, it's still entertaining. Like it's still, no matter where you look on TV, you can witness black suffering and feel that kind of validation or that, like whatever it is when white people are consuming it, or feel the shock or the trauma if you're black and watching it. I think if you just link like YouTube news and all that kind of stuff, and even the way they do bombings now, like you can watch war on television. So, were you going to do that already?
I was definitely going to try and link in the what do they call it, body cam footage or cell phone footage of like Eric Garner, how that's kind of the same thing, that you just, you know, whether it's a Facebook live stream or, you know, the new documentary on Khalif Browder, like it's kind of all the same, just black suffering as entertainment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Live streamed for your entertainment, ready when you are, black suffering.
Oh, and Black Mirror, White Bear, and the one with the soldier. Don't forget Black Mirror.
Everyone's favorite, Black Mirror. Just saw that, the YouTube of that episode today. Great graphics. Thanks, Mr. Fox. Did anybody else anything on that subject, or folks satisfied? Still learning. Did you have commentary you wanted to get in?
My apologies for chiming in late, Gus, but were you just going to be writing about shows that are talking about racism or race, as they say, or just anything that might, I mean, of course, everything depicts racism, but I just had something in mind.
Currently, I was thinking of programs that are like explicitly talking about racism or race, as they say.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that suggestion to myself then. And I just think that a lot of these programs are just I know you talk about the word progress all the time, so it gives people the false sense that we're making progress when they're just displaying it, or they're allowing us to talk about it on TV and, you know, not directly and explicitly talking about it, you know. But, yeah, I think it just gives people the impression, or non-white people, the impression that progress is being made when in actuality it's the same old business. But that's all I have. Thanks.
I agree. I think I'm going to have to even use some of the image. I was trying to think of something cool that happened in 1967, but I have failed. But I will have to use some of the hoopla from like Selma and Freedom Summer that, you know, happened just within the last couple of years or so to contrast that, you know, because they said that in the 1960s that when white people saw black children being hit with fire hoses and, you know, Selma, the brutality on the bridge, Congressman John Lewis being, you know, bludgeoned almost to death at Selma, that, you know, hey, this is going to make white people do right. And, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. We wouldn't have these problems now in Mississippi, where they said that they are under a state of siege. Black people are under state of siege this week in Mississippi, the ACLU in a lawsuit this week. That's, you know. It just continues. Consumption of black suffering is long running. That is the longest running show on the planet, system of white supremacy. With that, we will conclude. Thanks to all the folks who participated. Again, hope it was worthy of your time and energy. We'll be here tomorrow. Study session number 7, My Life, My Love, My Legacy, the autobiography of Mrs. Coretta Scott King, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll also be here Saturday, compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. If you have commentary, gripes, guest suggestions, feel free to drop an email untiljustice@gmail.com. I will again suggest, I know it is getting warm. We had some beautiful days here in the Pacific Northwest this week. Get out and enjoy the sun. I did, but you still want to be codified. You do not want to make an error like Gus T and get finagled into helping a white person, oof, or any other lapses in codification. Principally, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We do not want to be out and about intoxicated and just not thinking correctly. Anything could happen. You just want to be able to make correct decisions to get things done under the system of racism, white supremacy. You never know when you could be stopped, harassed by Daniel Holtzclaw, Darren Wilson, any other race soldier, badge or no. I do not think being under the influence is going to help that situation go better for you. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.